So what is Pittsburgh a wonderful place?
I don't know. You know, there's, you know, we got here and, I've heard about the sanctions and everything, but I didn't think it was this bad. Okay. I mean, I don't want to say it, but Catherine and I have been living on, the government has been supplying us with bread and water for the last week.
Tucker had it all wrong in Moscow?
Oh, yeah. Yes, it's completely wrong. We're living on, bread and water, and sometimes we get a bit of soft cheese.
You can't, as a tourist, get any restaurants or anything?
Oh, there's no food here. I mean, the sanctions are working. The sanctions are working, and it's terrible. I mean, there's starving people in the streets. And
did you go to Moscow?
Oh yeah, you know what we heard? It's going to even be worse there.
Have you gone there?
No, we're going on Friday. We're going.
So what is fucking Tucker talking about then?
I don't know what the hell. And you know what? We went on the subway the other day here, and this is in St. Petersburg. I mean, there are rats there. There are people peeing everywhere. There are.
Great. I think they're out to get you.
It's just.
They're doing a cast and a grade on you.
You know, I don't want to say it. I mean, I know that I kind of built the place up, and I brought Catherine here for her 70th birthday, and you know, we're having bread and water. You know, we can't even get a candle.
Greg may not make it out.
The only good thing is I've lost some weight, and
my God.
Yeah, I mean the buses aren't running. They don't have any gas. I mean, it's a country that has all this. You know how they say, Rush is this, you know, a gas station masquerading as a country. They don't have any gas or oil. I mean, the sanctions are working, and I'm sorry to say that. I mean, the people are walking around in rags. It's awful.
Wow.
Greg takes vacation and goes to hell.
I have to say, Catherine and I were sitting around the other day, and we were saying, it's the worst vacation we've ever had. I mean, it's just terrible. I mean, I don't know what to say.
I'm so sorry, Greg.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it's really, really, really terrible. And I feel badly for the people here, really.
Of course.
You know, and I just, everything you hear on the media in Canada and the United States about how the sanctions are working, it's true.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know how they say
I feel chastened.
It's all part
of the alien. Putin is dead. Aliens running Moscow. It's just the alien effect. They don't give a fuck about the humans.
I'm starving in
Kansas, remember, Greg?
Mm-hmm.
Only Nixon could go to China, and only Greg could go to Russia, and report on what's happening
Do you hear that there's a little bit of an echo to my voice?
Yeah, sounds like you're in a subway station or something.
Clinton, you guessed it. The subways aren't running, and they put all of the tourists, what few of them there are, in the subway station. So we actually gave us, it's quite familiar. We're quite familiar with tents because we see them in Toronto, people living in tents. Now we're living in a tent in the subway.
You're living in a tent in a subway in an abandoned Russian subway station.
This is not real.
Yeah, they're very kind to us. You need to go on CBC,
Greg. You gotta call up the ombudsman and fucking get on CBC, Greg. I'm a communist. The biggest fucking nut. He's worse than Roseanne Barr.
They're very kind to us. It's a beautiful tent. And very nice.
I think Greg is making this up, Clinton. Don't get too carried away. This is Greg.
Totally
making this shit up.
Okay.
Giving you
okay,
anything.
Okay. You're right. I'm making that. But the thing, okay, you know what?
Does he agree? If he agree, let's have that.
You
have to.
But you know why I'm making it up beyond the entertainment value.
His voice.
This place is so goddamn amazing.
What is?
That if
like,
I told
amazing?
You how amazing it is.
He's having a great
level,
time. It's so beautiful.
Yeah, Greg's now switched over to the other side. Greg's worse than Roseanne Barr.
Every single day is absolutely incredible.
What is incredible? Awesome. I missed the noun. What?
Everything.
Russia.
It's beyond words.
Well, you're talking like Tucker Carlson now.
The food is the stores are filled with food. The stores are filled with goods. They're overflowing with goods.
Hang on, this is starting to
What's
sound
the
implausible
like?
The other way.
Now you're plausible the other side,
Hello?
Greg.
Hello?
I don't think you ever left fucking Victoria.
Yeah, he's spoofing us with a VPN.
hold on. Did you hear me?
Yeah, what?
Yeah,
where'd
you
hear
it? I lost you there for a bit. The St. Petersburg, I mean, I thought Belgrade was good. I mean, I really enjoyed Belgrade. But this is really on some other level. You wouldn't believe it, Bob. And none of you would believe it. If you were here, my mouth is agape. I'm in total
Well,
shock.
What are you witnessing that's so amazing?
Yeah.
Well, first of all, let's say, the buildings, the city is immense, and there are buildings, amazing buildings, everywhere, every street, no matter where you go, there are these incredible buildings. Just, and you think, oh, okay, there are going to be a few buildings, you know, in the city center, and you're going to be walking around, oh, yeah, those are nice buildings, and then there's going to be some crap buildings, you know, like what I'm used to in Canada. It never ends. You walk down a street, and then you look down another street, and there's like all of these amazing buildings, and then at the end of the street, there'll be some kind of amazing church, or an amazing mosque, or an amazing, like really amazing. And then you'll see some like building that looks like the Kremlin down one street, and it just goes on and on and on and on, and it never
ends. Hey, great.
Ends.
Now you're supporting Ion. Ion, these are buildings from Tartaria, the ancient civilization.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. The guy.
I
want to
hear about
the
architecture.
Do you know what? One day we'll have to, if I can convince him to do it, the guy that's been babysitting us, all right, literally babysitting us for the whole time we've been here, in the most amazing turn of events that could ever be imagined, you know, we are being given a tour of St. Petersburg like almost no one would ever get. And yes, this stuff about the Tartaria stuff, that's what this guy's saying. And he, you know, we won't go into detail about it, but he's...
Why not?
Well, because it's probably for another time. I mean, I might have to get to sleep soon. But every day...
Does he mention the word Tartaria, Greg?
Every day is jam-packed. And
completely jam-packed. Greg, does he mention the word Tartaria?
Yes, he did.
Ah.
Yes, he did.
You're now a believer of Ion, man.
So, I mean, I can go on.
Ion,
there's
something hurt Greg. Greg's now an Ionot.
He did not say Tartaria.
He did.
Greg's been lying the whole time he's been on office hours. He's never, it's all made up, the whole fucking shit.
No, I'm not, really, honestly, this, I'm not kidding. I'm totally sincere about like what I've just said in the last few minutes.
Well,
totally
put Catherine
sincere.
On. Huh? Put fucking Catherine on. Let's
okay,
hear it from her.
Just a minute.
It's good to listen. We're the best show on the air right now.
Hey,
you better not come.
Catherine, you have to back me up on something here.
What?
Okay. All right. Okay, I'm going to have a little conversation with Catherine, all right? And she's not listening. She's not listening to you because I've got you on headphones.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Okay, it's Bob and Clinton and Linus and Chad and a whole bunch of other people, all right?
Uh-huh.
All right, now, about Dimitri, all right?
Oh, yeah.
About Dimitri.
Yeah.
Now, Bob asked me this question.
Yeah.
He said, did Dimitri mention Tartaria?
No, I don't think
oh
so.
My God. Okay, well, I'll I'm going to tell you where he did it.
Okay,
I'll remind you. Remember we were at that other Catherine the Great place down there where we went on the big trip? We went 30 kilometers out and
on my birthday.
On your birthday.
Yeah.
Okay? And remember we're walking around and Bob, this will, what I'm going to start describing what his thesis is and it should make some sense. Maybe. So his theory is as we went down, when we went, his basic theory is that what we're seeing of all of these like marvels of architecture, design, ancient Roman type of stuff that we're seeing, and things that look like they're from an age long before they're supposed to be from, that there's a bunch of dogs barking out there, that it was part of this thing called Tartaria. He mentioned that at that place down there. And you said, oh, was that the Tartars? And he goes, no.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, I remember
that. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a, yeah.
It's all about his
I remember saying, was it the, did he mean the Tartars? And he said, no.
No. He says Tartaria. So, okay, there's the backup. So Catherine remembers the conversation now. So basically, he's saying that everything that we're seeing is actually older than what it's claimed to be.
Yeah.
And that, and so, anyway, he's quite adamant about it. I mean, it comes up constantly. He even talks about that there were big people and little people. He says, look, you see that building there? He says, you see that building? Oh, they're big, big, tall windows and big ceilings and things like that. He says, why did they do that? He says, you see, and then you see this building where there's smaller ceilings and smaller windows. He says, well, there were big people. And then he says, you notice these statues that have large, they're these big people, and then they're holding little people or standing, behind.
But they're perfect, like normal looking people. They don't look like,
dwarfs.
They're not children or anything.
Yeah, they're not children.
No, right. You'll have a big statue of somebody or a god or something, and then beside it you'll have like a person that is clothed and has shoes and they're an adult too. But they're a fraction of the size of them. It's a little disorienting.
And then, even when we went into the subway, he says, they found the subway. It was already here. They just kind of built onto it. And then he says, look at this huge column. He says, it's one big, piece of marble, like some huge piece of marble. He says, well, how did they do that? He says, and it's perfectly smooth. It's like, how did they make that?
Say like 700 tons?
Yeah, it's something unbelievable.
He's right in front of the Hermitage like in that in the courtyard, or not the courtyard, but the there's a great space of I guess cement or cobblestones or something between the buildings at the Hermitage, and there's a column that's one piece of marble. It's not sectioned or anything, and it towers above everything else. And then there's a sculpture on top of it, and evidently it weighs like 700 tons.
And then he shows us these we're in the Hermitage and we're looking at things, these bowls. They're big, they're giant bowls. And they're perfectly done. Yet they're saying that they're 400 years old or something like that, or 300, 400 years old. And he says, look at this. He says, how did they do this? How was it? Do you think they just did it all by hand or something like that? He says, he's brought people in who work with marble and things like that. And they've gone and examined it. He says, there's no way that could be done without modern equipment. You just couldn't do it. It's not possible. You couldn't have people like chipping away at things and getting perfectly smooth things. And I have to say that when I see these things, when I look at them, I mean, they're absolutely perfect.
Hey, Greg, I can hear Greg. I could hear Ion saying, that's fucking great. He's so fucking dumb. If he'd known a little bit more about what Bob tells him, he'd understand where he was. But you're going around being dumbfounded. Your mouth is gaping. Catherine doesn't even hear about it, doesn't even know what it is. You're missing the great tour. And I will add to that.
No, I'm getting the great tour. I'm getting the great tour.
I'm better than Dimitri. I'll tell you more about that fucking place than Dimitri.
We're like walking for 10, 12 hours a day.
Yeah, we're walking for 10 or 12 hours a day.
Yeah.
You know, and we're seeing stuff that's, it doesn't stop there. I'll give you an example. First, we did a tour of the metro. A short tour. Like what he does, he says, look, I'm going to take you to the Hermitage. We're going to go in there for, I don't know, 2-3 hours, and you'll get a taste of it. Because if you wanted to see the whole thing, you'd have to be here for about 10 years.
Well, that's common knowledge, though. That's like anything. You could look into it.
And yeah.
Evidently, if you spend we listened to the YouTube tour, and they said that if you spent 1 minute in front of every artifact at the Hermitage, it would take you 8 years to get through it.
It's crazy.
It's the most extraordinary thing I've ever set eyes on, and it was actually disturbing. It was hard to sleep afterwards and everything. And there was another interesting thing is that the Hermitage is just a few hundred years old, and then yesterday we went to Viborg, which is on the Baltic coast. It's 2 kilometers from Finland, and he brought us to see a house that was from the 10th century, and it was, as you might expect, you know, it was like a stone construction, dilapidated for its age, but you know, not bad. People were still living in it and everything. And then you wonder how come that looks so old, in comparison to like the Hermitage. It doesn't make sense that in the difference of time, the Hermitage would be at the level that it is.
Well,
it's just,
well, the other thing is that what we're seeing is like a lot of the areas that we're seeing were destroyed by the Nazis. So we're seeing renovations of buildings everywhere that were destroyed by Nazis. But it's still, you know, it's just unbelievable. I mean, you really, I'm thinking of coming back to Canada and starting some kind of a not-for-profit thing to take underprivileged people to see this once in their lives. I think everybody has to see this. You have to come here.
We met this American guy on the way home tonight. He's been living here for a few years after university and everything. And he was saying that he was from Chicago. And he said that it was hard to believe that people in the West know nothing about Russia or what it's like here. Like, there's just been such a ban on it. They have no idea, like, how the people live. And so I said, what do you think of the standard of life here? And he said, you know, with a laugh, he said, well, it's fantastic. It's fantastic. People here are living like, when we think of like back home, we're thinking, oh my God, you know, the poor sods back there, they're living the life here. I mean, we go out for dinner and we have, you know, a steak tartare with frites and Parmesan cheese on it and everything. I mean, Bob, you'll relate to this because you live in a very expensive place, but, you know, a steak tartare dinner in Toronto is going to cost, you know, upwards of $35 for sure. And in, you know, the fancier the place, it could be $75. It's $10 here. It's $10, you know.
And we're sitting in places.
A mountain of spinach and beef salad with almonds and you name it, the works. But it's basically a full meal salad. Is $6.
Okay.
Get this.
This guy says to us, look, we don't want to eat in tourist places. He says, so let's go here. So we go to a place. You wouldn't even know there was a restaurant there. We go in the building. We go up in an elevator. There's really not much publicity. You don't even know that you're going to a restaurant. You get up on the top floor of this place. Modern office building, and you walk in, and it's a full-scale, like, high-end restaurant with a full view of incredible stuff, incredible architecture, and all of these kind of sophisticated-looking people, you know, hot-looking women, and
they're still dressing up to go for dinner back in Canada. I mean, you know, they've given up on that type of stuff. And the ladies are dressed, you know, even the products. Okay, you go to the bathroom, okay, they're not using paper towels. They have like all these little rolled cloth, terry cloth, face cloths. And there's everything from delinting things. There's nail files. Little boxes of stuff like a makeup remover. There's nail files. Yes. There's hand cream if you want it. It's just crazy. Like all this is just on offer. There's little like packets of it. I've seen that type of thing in the West, but it's usually like one spray. You can take a spray thing and spray something, but this is all individual. There's toothbrushes with toothpaste tubes that are like an inch and a half big, just for like to brush your teeth after you've had dinner. I mean, it's crazy.
And then you sit down, and I'm thinking, now I've got a pretty big budget. I mean, I think we Kath and I sat around before we left because we have to have cash here.
So tell them what you paid for dinner. You bought dinner for the three of us in this swanky restaurant, okay, with all glass walls. We're looking over the city, and across the street, there's some cathedral, and we're face-to-face with, like, the Copper Dome. I mean, we have pictures of it. I mean, anyone wants to doubt any of this stuff, I'm sure Greg can send some photos because it's just drop dead gorgeous. Now, we three people ate. What did you pay, Greg? Do you remember what that dinner was?
I think for the three of us, I mean, I don't remember that one specifically. I can tell you about another one.
But give
I don't know. I think it was like, it was maybe for the three of us. It was definitely under $50. we're in a top place. You can see all the chefs in the back there in perfect, like in absolutely immaculate kitchen, cooking all this stuff up, bringing us, and get this, the food.
I gotta say something. We went for our anniversary in
Toronto.
Like just, you know, a month ago, we went for our wedding anniversary for dinner. For two people, it cost $250 in Toronto.
And it was nothing.
$250.
And really, it was nothing to write home about.
And here, three people are eating in a swank hotel. So, a swank restaurant, not a hotel, in like some hidden restaurant. You don't know where the hell you're going. And it's like $50.
Okay, now get this. This is the one I do know what the cost was, all right? And, okay, what I want to say is, I had a budget. Before we left, we had to bring enough money to get us through because we can't use credit cards here, so we need to have the money. So we, I said, okay, Catherine, I'm going to give a budget of $150 a day.
U.S. That's after the hotel. That's just basically eat and pin money.
Yeah. You know, $150 a day, U.S. So, you know, that's a pretty big budget, I think, you know, but, you know, you don't know what you're going to run into. So on Catherine's birthday, we go with Dimitri and his girlfriend, and we go out, and Dimitri's, I don't know, a guy in his mid-50s, all right? Girlfriend's a young girl, really. But anyway, so we go to this Catherine Palace 30 kilometers out of town, and he says, oh, I've got a special place for you. And we end up at what has to be, it's like a castle.
It's older.
It's older.
And he said it was Pavel. I don't know who the hell Pavel is, but Pavel has a castle. And beside the, like, you know, I don't know, let's say two blocks away from the castle, but there's no blocks, it's just woods. It's like a park with intermittent castles. It was a neighborhood of very wealthy royalty. And then, so this other building is sort of like a meeting room. It's a fortress. It's a star fortress, actually, which I never heard about. But it's a star fortress, and you can see from a front, when you're on the top of the castle or on the top of this fortress, you can see the definition of this old ancient star thing, which is sort of like a moated bridge or something. And then he said this area, this building, was for when they had meetings, like for wars and stuff like that. So there's like a great room and everything like this. But this goes back further, evidently, than Catherine the Great's time. But this place has been renovated. You can probably see it online. The restaurant's called VIP, but it's spelled B-I-P. It's in Cyrillic, and the B is pronounced V. And so this has been renovated to be a hotel, but they've kept enough of the ancient stuff for it to be incredible. And yet it's very, very swanky. We had an incredible, incredible dinner. Like, remember it for the rest of my short remaining years. But so what did that cost?
Okay, now, let me go into further detail here. So we go with Dimitri, and Dimitri knows everything, right? So he goes, okay.
And President Putin goes to this.
Yeah, well, there's pictures
of him and some other president.
There's a picture. Hold on. I know what it is. There's a picture of President Putin with the president of Kazakhstan, and they visited this restaurant and had dinner there. All right. So Dimitri goes, okay, you've got to have the lamb.
You've got to have the lamb. You've got to have it, right? And so Catherine says, oh, okay, I'll get the lamb. So Dmitri and his girlfriend get the lamb. And I go, well, you know, Catherine is going to get the lamb. She always leaves something. So I'm going to get to taste it. So I'm going to get the fish dinner. So unbeknownst to me, Dmitri has ordered the four lamb dinners anyway. Like, he's insistent that, I didn't know this until it all came out, that four lamb dinners arrive on the table, and my fish meal. So I tuck into the lamb dinner, and it's amazing. Absolutely amazing. You know, everything about it. Even potatoes taste better here. Even potatoes. I mean, yeah, everywhere.
And it's true. You say, what the hell?
What the hell? I mean, I've had potatoes, I don't know, six ways from Sunday here at this place, and it doesn't matter where we go. The potatoes are incredible. And, I mean, that's just a potato. So, anyway, so we have this whole meal and my fish meal. So there are five dinners for four people. And we don't scrimp. We're not drinking, all right? There's no drinking.
No, we had two huge, like, immense things of tea.
We had, big, unbelievable tea. Then we get a rum baba and some other goddamn thing, right?
And we all had soup and stuff.
Oh, yeah, we all had soup before. Right?
Huge bowl of soup. Size of your head.
So, okay. All right. So, what does it come to?
With tip.
What? $1.
$1. Pretty good tip. Equivalent of about 160 US.
For everybody.
at a restaurant where President Putin brings the president of Kazakhstan to.
In Toronto, you can pay $100 for a steak.
The food is everywhere we've gone, except, it's amazing. And Dmitri says, why would you want to go? You know, you don't want to go, you don't want to go to these touristic places, you know, around where they all are. He says, you don't want to go there. You're going to get, you know, kind of a mediocre meal. He says, you can go to one of these places that's sort of high end and pay the same prices. And it's true.
I had for dinner, duck stewed in buckwheat. And I swear there was a whole bloody duck in there.
Yeah, and I had fish. Nice. I had a fish meal. And I said to them, I mean, I'm being...
And what was mine, Greg? $14?
I don't even know. It's just so cheap. I mean, it's just... it's one thing that's cheap. You know, I said to
the...
I said to the girl, this is the best food I've ever had. I said, and then Catherine says the same thing. Girl can't believe us. Just can't. Like, think, and we're being completely sincere.
I feel terrible to say this, but I sort of felt we were going to have, you know, a good but kind of peasant food, you know? I'm ashamed. Mm-hmm. I feel ignorant in saying that. But, you know, maybe more like, where I come from, Quebec, you know, more, you know, wild game and stuff. But there's a fineness. They're eating a lot of meat, but there's a fineness to their cooking, which is like, you know, move over Paris here. I mean, this is not anything you've ever tasted, really.
Yeah, it's nuts. It's nuts. Completely crazy here. Yeah.
Okay, we're in a hotel, a nice, like a boutique hotel, okay? And breakfast is included. So we all know what the hotel with breakfast included thing is, you know. It's like there's a buffet thing. You go and you get your, you know, nasty muffin and your little container of yogurt and your shitty tea or coffee. Well, this place, okay? has about 50 different things. I mean, it's got, first of all, a huge array of teas, coffee, anything you want, espresso, cappuccino, Americano, you name it.
Oh, you get champagne in the morning if you want.
A glass of champagne in the morning, okay. Included.
Hey, you want ice cream? You want some ice cream at breakfast? They'll give it to you.
Yeah, they'll give you 3 scoops of ice cream.
And then, oh yeah, I asked for eggs. I said, oh yeah, I'd like a fried egg. I said, can you do it where like it's hard in the middle and, you know, where it's broken and turned over? And they sort of listening to me, and I go, okay. So anyway, guy comes with a plate. There are five eggs on the plate.
What?
I'm just staring at it going, what the hell is going on here?
There's croissants, there's crepes, not pancakes, not the griddle things. There's French crepes. There's like an egg custard with a bit of Parmesan sprinkled on top and then crusted, which is like, it's like heaven. Okay. There's a variety of sausages. There's vegetables. There's broccoli. There's cauliflower. There's beans. There's carrots. There's
herring.
There's
beet.
There's milk. Okay.
Peas.
There's stuff for cereals. Okay.
Oh yeah.
There's
porridge.
There's three kinds of porridge. You can have either rice porridge or you can have oat porridge or you can have semolina porridge. And then to put on that, you can have milk, cold milk, or hot milk. Okay. Or kefir or yogurt. Okay. Or yogurt. There's about, I don't know, 5 different kinds of juices. It's just ridiculous.
Can you guys?
And
that sounds amazing.
There's even like, because there's Asian guests, they've got what do you call those things? Those little pork dumplings. There's dumplings. There's other kinds of things that we don't know what they are because we're so busy stuffing
Get this.
And jam and honey.
Yeah, jam, honey.
Jam and honey and sweet
condensed
milk.
And good jam.
And good
jam. Not crap jam like
not
you get in America and Canada.
Jam,
not junk. It's good. It's actually good. With fruit in it. And then, tonight I said to the guy at the front desk, I said, we have to leave early on Friday. We're going to miss the breakfast. And he goes, oh, we'll make up sandwiches and food for you.
there's apples, there's green apples.
Oh, yeah.
There's
apples, oranges.
Grapefruits, oranges, and mandarins. it's just, we think we've gone to heaven.
And we're paying less than $100 a night.
Yeah. And the hotel is nice.
And it's amazing.
Yeah.
It is totally incredible.
Yeah.
Here's another story. So we go on a tour of the underground, right? The subway. It's unbelievable. it's just incredible. There's just crazy stuff down there. There's art everywhere. It's stuff. Like columns made out of glass with hammers and sickles in them, from the 1950s or 1930s, I don't know. It's just nuts. The subway stations are crazy. There's just sculptures everywhere, unbelievable artwork, statues of famous people, writers, and there's a whole theme Tchaikovsky subway station. I mean, we've only seen about 4 or 5 of them.
The city is beautiful. I've never been to Vienna or anything, but there's water running through a bunch of it. There's 400 bridges. 400 bridges in St. Petersburg. like little walkways. You can walk over them. I mean, a car can drive over them. They're not massive bridges. They're just going over like canals. There's canals everywhere.
And everything is, you know, most everything is immaculately kept.
Yeah.
The bridges, the ironwork. I mean, it is crazy everywhere. Everywhere there's just something. It's all at times it's disturbing. You know that there's just such. You just wonder how the hell did they do this? When did they do this? This is impossible. It's just, and it never ends. It never seems to end. And then as Catherine said, we go to some other place. Right near the Finnish border, and there's unbelievable stuff there. You know, Lenin statue there, and like everything's amazing.
We go for this chocolate. It's snowing in Vyborg yesterday, and you know, we're a little chilled. We had some time to wait before that we take the train, so we go to this little cafe, and we order some hot chocolate. And it's not coming, and it's not coming, and we're, you know, the three of us are tired, and we're just, you know, we're laughing and making fun. What did they do? Did they go to the next town to get the chocolate, or what kind of chocolate is this, blah, blah, blah. Well, hold on to your shorts, because they bring us these three cups of piping hot. I swear they must have gone out and got 90% chocolate and just melted it right into the cup. Because it was the best chocolate, hot chocolate I've had in my life. I told Dimitri, I said, I can never have another hot chocolate in my life because everything will be compared to this damn hot chocolate.
Yeah, just in this ordinary little shop.
Yeah, and it was hot. It was piping hot, but it maintained hot, not like microwave hot, you know. And it wasn't powder. There was no
powder.
It was not powdered chocolate. It was this chocolate straight from the heavens. I mean, it was just, and we're saying they can't, you know, everything. They're such, I guess, perfectionists or something. I don't know. I never met people like this, you know, that just do everything to the extreme and to the best. I mean, how is it that you've got a whole country like this?
And then okay, so when we first walked into this little shop, and Dimitri goes, oh, we'll go in here, right? And so we walk in, and there are two women sitting in seats in this little, it's a little shop. It's all painted white, and it looks, you know, sort of modern looking. And they're just sitting around, and he's talking in Russian to them. And I'm looking and going, wonder what he's saying. And he goes, you know, da-da-da-da-da-da, something, something. And I figure that he's asking them, is the hot chocolate good here or something? That's what I think. And these two women are just, you know, sitting there casually, just sitting in a seat there. They look, you know, look like customers. Turns out they're the women that go get up and go down and make the hot chocolate.
They're just sitting in the client seat.
Sitting, look, just like looking totally relaxed.
Yeah.
And it
nobody, like, they're not giving... You know how, like, in the West, it's like, oh, service, you know, if you don't get service,
yeah, yeah.
You know. It's like, and here, they're just so casual and friendly about it. It's like, nobody feels like, you don't feel that they're not rushing for you. They're not serving you. They're accommodating you.
I mean, mind you.
It's very weird.
Mind you, we're actually going through a strange turn of events. Almost, well, totally unplanned. We're going with somebody who's showing us around. So it obviously makes it a lot easier than if
yeah.
we were wandering around on our own. I mean, you'd need at least, I don't know, I think you'd need Serbia. I needed 3-4 days to figure out the goddamn place, right? But this place, you might need 10 days if you were just came in here cold because but
it'd be hard to find a lot of these places. They're just
I'll give you an example of that. So we did the whole thing with going around the sub. Yesterday we did the subway stations, then we went up to Lenin's statue at the Finlandia railway station, then we got on the train at the Finlandia railway station, went to near Finland, did all this stuff you're talking about. Then on the way back, Dimitri says, hey, we could stop at a little town on the way. And Catherine goes, I got to get back. I got to get some rest.
I
got to get some rest. So we, he says, ah, okay, okay. All right, so we get back. We get back to the railway station. We get onto the underground. Amazingly, we just went one stop. And we're back in our general area. And we get out, and we're walking, and just, hey, this, he says, do you feel like a tea or something? It's around 11 o'clock at night. It's about 10:30 at night. He goes, I know a secret place. So we duck into an alleyway. We go into a courtyard, and there's some people there smoking in the courtyard, and he goes, and he's talking to them in Russian, and he walks up to this door, which has a little intercom on it.
Yeah, the
maybe
back, the back side of a building.
Back side of a building, all right? An ugly metal door, and he goes, the place is in here. And I go, well, can we go in a regular route? He says, no, this is the way you go in. And he goes, I can't remember the code. So he gets on his phone, and he asks these people, do you know the code? Do you know the code to get up to something or other? And they go, no, we don't know the code. So he's phoning, and I guess he gets the code. So he punches in the code, and we go into this, what seems to be like an apartment building.
A loft apartment building.
And we go along, we get on this elevator, little tiny elevator, and we go up to the fifth floor or something, and we come out into like a hallway, and we go over to this door of an apartment, and we walk in, and there's a whole thing going on there. And I go, how would anybody find this? How would anybody know that this is here? And you have to put a code in to get in at a door that isn't even marked. There's no marking of this restaurant. And so we walk in, and there's all kinds of wacky stuff in there, right? And it's like, it looked like a real hipster type of place, and it's huge. It's huge. And we walk into a room, and I look up, I go, Catherine, look at that. And there's a massive, what would you call that on the ceiling, Catherine?
A skylight.
It's a skylight, but like a skylight you've never seen before.
It's like a sky dome.
Yeah.
That's probably 12 by 20 feet.
All right? And it's in an apartment.
Yeah.
It's an apartment it's a giant apartment turned into a hip place to go and have tea or have dinner or something.
It's a
restaurant.
Yeah. And then it's the dome, the room that the dome is over is a circular room, okay, with sort of a walkway around the entire wall. And I told Greg, perfect, like for a library, you know, you'd have this great thing. It's got a stage and a microphone, and everywhere we've been has very cool music. We don't know where the hell they're getting it, but it's very cool music.
Oh, yeah.
And everywhere we've been, we check our coats, okay, and sometimes it's just like you leave the coat there with the doorman. And, you know, Dimitri says, nobody's going to take anything. You can put your kid gloves in your pocket. Mm-hmm. And you can, this place here, I mean, there wasn't even a check. There was just like hangers. You know, Greg put his backpack down, our coats, everything, our lives are in there. Nobody's stealing. Nobody's
Well, there's
stealing.
Hardly anybody there. There's a guy standing.
Nobody knows.
There's a young guy.
Restaurant.
Yeah. There's a young guy who we meet. As we walk in, whose whole job is just to stand by the door, apparently, and deal with anybody coming in. Then, okay, there's that area. Then we walk out, and there's a whole big area where there are tables and chairs. Old, they're all not matching, you know?
Yeah.
Like, There's nothing matching. It's all stuff they picked up somewhere and just threw into the room. But it all looks great.
It's all antiques. It's all original stuff.
And then there's a bunch of old televisions sitting up at the front in various places. You know, a Russian television from 1970 or something. And then another little television and a radio. And then you go to it. There's all these rooms there. And then we walk the one with that big skylight thing. It at the front it says comedy something, comedy space, or I mean,
and it's somebody's apartment. It's about six 6,000 square feet,
or maybe more. And we said to Dimitri, "What's that over there?" He says, "Oh, and the guy lives there or something."
Yeah.
and so we're there, and I think there are. I don't know, like four or five other people, and I'm being generous, four or five other people who were there. There are a couple sitting over in a corner having something to drink.
They were closing. Yeah.
We get there on 10:30, and we ordered some tea. And so we get this, you know, pretty amazing tea, right?
Yeah.
Okay. We get this amazing tea. It's all with fruit in it or berries or cardo. I don't know.
They're big on berries, and you can have... They put pine in there. They put all kinds of stuff. I mean, it's not caffeinated tea.
So the girl comes up. We've got our tea. And she says, you know, sorry, but, you know, we're going to be closing in the next few minutes. I look at my watch, and it's getting up to 11 o'clock. So I figure, okay, 11 o'clock's the end of it. And so, I mean, when we walked in, it looked like it was going 24 hours. So there'd be people coming in there and hanging out for 24 hours, but it wasn't that case. So we finished our tea and left. But I thought, this is crazy. It's just totally crazy. A place that you would never, ever, ever know was there. And even people in St. Petersburg might never know it was there. And you know what? There are endless restaurants. Endless. Endless everything. We went to this place that the guy who ran the hockey or the football club in England.
Abramovich.
Abramovich. He got, you know, divested of his because he was Russian. He got divested of a soccer team because he's a Russian. And so we go to this place and it's an old military facility or something. And we go in.
It's circular.
I don't even know why we're going there. Dimitri says, oh, come on, we'll go over here. And so we go in, and it's circular. And I figure, are we going to a military facility or?
It's on an island.
It's on an island.
Yeah.
And so we go in there, and we're walking around, and it's circular, and it's multi-floors, and it's all sort of old-looking but renovated, and there's all these hipster, as Dimitri said, all these hipster stores.
Selling stuff you don't need, but one of them will be shoes, another one will be like comic books, another one will be record players. It's like... one store after another, one very cool, very trendy hipster shop all around the circumference of this building until we reach a few different kinds of restaurants and we had something.
And that stuff, and like you go into this thing and it's a Japanese manga anime type store. It's just packed with stuff. It's just... everywhere's packed with stuff, and anywhere you go, and this was no exception.
So Dimitri said when we were there, we went through a grocery store. The grocery stores are packed, okay? I mean, I don't know who thinks that this sanctioned stuff is part of it. And what he said was, this is what he said. He said that, you know, like, as an example, Russia had these contracts with Finland to provide, you know, like, food products, you know, to provide cod liver or this or that or herring or blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, from one day to the next with the sanctions, Finland stopped supplying it. So what happened, evidently, were Russians, like, moved quickly to fill the gap as, like, you know, are what we learn in capitalism, right? As we, you know, there's a need, there's a supply, demand, and supply. So there was demand that was dropped instantly. And he says those people that moved quickly became overnight millionaires. You know, so they produced, now all of a sudden they're producing their own duck pate and their own this and their own that. And the stores are full because they acted quickly and they had the means, of course. Some of them had the means, which, you know, all of a sudden their money is being collected or absconded with in the West. So a number of them were already in Russia or part-time in Russia, and others went back to Russia, and they just picked up the slack on all these things and supplied they're supplying the country, and some of them are exporting to other countries that will do business with Russia. So it's like a big joke. I mean, it's a joke on the West, you know? Shoot yourself in the foot. So Finland is losing business. Finland is losing hotel business, restaurant business, all kinds of things, because their major clients were Russians that were going over there for, like, you know, it takes an hour and a half to get there, you know, or not even.
It's nothing. No, we were on this train.
It's an hour.
We're on a train, on a fantastic train.
Yeah, a fast train.
Fast train, quiet train, smooth train. We go up there.
Yeah. And Vyborg is like 1.5 million people or something. So, you know, it's not like a town, but it's 2 kilometers from wherever, whatever the city is in Finland. And the train used to just go right there. And now it stops in Vyborg. And then they can't even drive there or anything. So it's Finland that lost all this business.
Then, so we were in Vyborg yesterday, which is up near, as you said, Finland. So we're walking around in these amazing cobblestone streets, and there are restaurants there, and you know, we're sort of relying on Dimitri again, you know, to, you know, he's going, oh no, don't go there, we won't go there. Okay, let's go in here, right? So we go in there, we go into this place, and we have this, like, really amazing soup. This is a mediocre meal, okay? We'll call this a mediocre meal compared to what we were having. We go in there, and we have a plate of meat and amazing,
the
stuff was amazing, okay? But we'll just call it, for the sake of argument, it was a little mediocre, okay? So we're having really good stuff, all right? It's good. So we order something, and it comes out, and it's me. It's meat and amazing, more amazing potatoes, okay? And it's moose, bear.
Moose,
bear, and some kind of wild game. It's all wild game, and a chicken.
That day,
like the hunters go and bring it into them.
Yeah, they just bring it into them.
That's the kind of place it is.
There's like the new frontier. It's like man.
It's all wild game. You can have deer. You know, that's the kind of and it's just an ordinary restaurant you walk into. We walk in there, families are having dinner, you know, like all sorts of kids there, a lot of family stuff here.
What was the bird? It wasn't feathers.
No, it wasn't. I don't know what the bird was, but it wasn't chicken, and it didn't taste like chicken.
No.
You know, and it was, and I thought, we're eating moose and bear. I mean, that's crazy. Just at some place we walked into. It isn't like we looked it up and go, oh, here's a place where they serve moose and bear, you know, and do wild game. No, we just walked into a place. The bear was good.
Oh, the bear was good. I'm sorry to say it for the bear, but yeah, the bear was good. And then right down near the nearest metro station, near the railway station that goes to Moscow, Dmitry takes us into this. He takes us into this building. Doesn't look at any nothing special about it. You know, I mean, not all the buildings look special there. But we go into this building, and we're brought and. We just walk in through the door, and we look around, and it's a huge mall going up, I don't know how many stories, like, what, six? There's escalators, like, you see them winding up, you look up, and there's this never-ending mall looking up into the air, you know, up into this place, and then, so we start exploring in there. Then we go to a high-tech shop. Like what would be a Best Buy in Canada? Whoa!
Oh my God!
There,
I even took pictures of it because you know,
yeah,
it's all this talk that you know the you know nothing, okay? So just kettles, okay? I just took some pictures of the kettles that they had. They had 43 different kinds of kettles. I counted them because it was like a huge display. They got kettles from every country, okay? They got kettles. From Japan, from Germany, from Italy, from God knows where, but they're, even Best Buy in Canada has, you know, I mean, on a good day, you might see 12.
They got bicycles and sculptures. Amazing. It just looks incredible.
Yeah.
Then there's a grocery store in there. The grocery stores are crazy. I mean, you walk into them, and just where they're selling fish is, I mean, I can't believe it. I mean, they've got every goddamn chip fish you could possibly imagine. And the places are just stuffed with stuff, and it all looks high quality.
So Dmitry brings me over to the cheese counter. He says, look, he says, sanctions have been rough. There's only like 1,000 kinds of cheese.
And then we go, one day we went to a farmer's market, but
oh
where they're like ordinary people, like people who look like they come from the last century. Then they're there, right? In traditional clothing or something. They come from like the far, like they've come from the country or something, which is a long way away. And he says, oh, Sour cream.
Sour cream.
Unbelievable.
Dude, like, Greg, you got flipped out. Yeah. Where do they come from?
What?
Where do they come from? Where the guys?
I don't know where the hell they come from, but they look like they come from the last century. Like,
right,
when
but
I mean
what
the last.
What did you just say after that? We missed the sentence. What was your point about them?
Try this sour cream. So they get a little piece of paper out, they dip it in the sour cream, and they give you the piece of paper. And you kind of suck on the piece of paper to get the sour cream and get a little sample. And it's just unbelievable. I mean, I've never had sour cream that anywhere near tasted like that, and so smooth and so... So, I don't know. It's just great.
It's interesting because in Canada, you know, you'll have companies that make sour cream and you can, you know, it's in a tub. It's in a plastic tub. And if you buy it in Toronto or you buy it in Ottawa or Hamilton, it's still all the same company. It's like homogenized.
And it's crap.
Industry. So here, evidently, it's all done by individual farmers. And then the farmers either, the restaurants link up. Individual. And so you can have different tasting sour cream or milk from any of these different places. So he brought us to taste all these different kinds of sour cream. Now, I thought sour cream just tasted the same, you know? But, not evidently, I mean, obviously, it's from our experience, there's differences in sauerkraut.
Yeah, we went to one stall and we're eating this stuff and we're going, oh my God, it's amazing. And then we go to the one right next to it,
yeah,
and the woman hands us these little pieces of paper.
Yeah.
We're eating that, we're going, oh, maybe this stuff is better than what we just had.
Yeah, yeah. Or one will taste a little more sour or, you know, or a little more sweet or something. And it's really interesting because they do have all these individual farmers here. And I mean, contrast that to what's happening in Belgium, where they're, you know, the government is shutting down farmers and farmers are going to the capital and like pelleting police with manure.
I mean, most of the, there's a certain part of the day where Catherine and I sit around and we go, how are we going to be able to, how are we going to go back? What's going to happen? What's going to happen when we go back?
It's actually a thing, you know, like in the West, it's like, oh, the best country in the world, you know, and Canada just by default says, oh, yeah, we're beside the best country in the world. We must be very best, too, you know. Well, hell, surprise, surprise, you're losing the race, buddy.
And the reason, and part of the reason why I did my little, you know, shtick at the beginning when I came on, there are horses out in the street.
Yeah,
there are horses out in the street. I don't know what the hell is going on. There are horses at 2 o'clock in the morning. Okay, all right. So, so I said to Catherine, I said, we can't, when we go back, we can't tell people how good it is.
Yeah, right.
Because they'll never believe us. They'll just think, oh, it's Greg. You know, oh, he's so pro-Russian, you know, or whatever. You know, and I said to Catherine, we've got to play it down when we go back because, because
yeah, describe it the way you described us. You had that you were in a tent in the subway. You had water and salt all week. That's what they fed you.
Yeah, bread and water. Yeah, bread and water. Yeah, no, it's yeah, that's why I was underplaying it because it's. I mean, I can't even think of superlatives. We walked into a store.
This makes Paris look.
Oh
like
yeah, it looked like a shithole. We
no wonder the world's so pissed off.
I know. It's unbelievable.
Hey, Greg, explains why Zappa, he went to Russia in 89, 90, went there a couple of times, but he came back saying, these people are fantastic. He was really effusive about how great Russia was. That was, in, you know, 30 years ago.
And that was when things were probably pretty bad.
Yeah.
You can tune in if you want to listen.
Oh, yeah.
We went to this.
The other thing, Greg, I wanted to mention this. I think it was the Evergreens or Beater, I don't know who said it, way back there in the 80s, 70s, that Russia in the 21st century will become the top country. You're fucking seeing that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh yeah.
I mean, we haven't even hit Moscow yet, and
no homeless. There's no homeless people here. I mean,
no,
it's
no,
ridiculous.
No,
Toronto, there's, you know, there's not a park that doesn't have a tent city in it. There's no druggies in the street. There's no. They say evidently, you know, people do drugs, but they do it in the privacy of their own homes, and it's not like the vast majority of people that do it. You know, and it is against the law. You wouldn't want to be caught doing it. There's none of that societal downtrodden thing. You know, there's not a lot of people have tattoos. Nobody's got green hair, purple hair. you know, nothing like that. The ladies, the women are dressed smartly. You're not seeing a lot of Lululemon or the, you know, the athletic, not a lot of exercising, jogging down the street with swinging ponytails and stuff like that, you know. The gals are gals, you know. The gals are gals.
Oh, yeah,
the guys are guys, you know, and there's no, like, you don't see any bellies, you don't see any.
I saw a belly the other day.
Did you?
Yeah, I did.
Well, lucky you.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen one eyebrow ring, one. and it's very strange. It's a very very yeah. It's
people thank us. We had someone on the train when we were coming back last night. This girl thanked us for coming. You're thanking me. we're just like they. I went to a record store today, and I was asking about something, and the owner put me over to his son because I guess he thought his son could speak a little bit of English, and then he says, "Oh, what country are you from?" We said, "Canada." He says, "I don't think I, he says I've never met a Canadian before."
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. And hey, great. People, we think we may be the only people from North America in this entire hotel.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, we haven't heard anybody speak English at all in the whole time we've been here.
Hey, Greg, this is, you know, Beter said that the Bolsters come over and take over the Pentagon and wreck America and isolate it. He said they would isolate it. And then Russia would grow into this 21st century hero. This is exactly what's going on. America and the whole West is being shut down by the Bolsheviks in this crisis time. And Russia is already feeling good, and they don't even worry about it. But the way Russia was supposed to be 80 years ago is what's happening in North America.
Yeah, it's weird. And we don't get why the, you know, why the Americans, I mean, are, like, just hanging on to, like, a sinking ship kind of thing. Like, you know, there's smart people in the States, for God's sakes, you know? What, there are some very smart people. There's big universities, big think tanks. Like, what is stalling them? What is stalling them? I don't get
it. The aliens have taken over. That's the point. The Pentagon aliens run all the institutions of America. That's why they don't care about people at all.
It's very bizarre, you know?
If I didn't have to go back home, I wouldn't.
No, me neither.
You went on this trip, Greg, to find out where you wanted to move to because you wanted to leave Canada. Well, fucking go back to Moscow.
We're thinking of it.
I mean, we can't just stay. Obviously, there are things, you know, we've got cats and stuff like that. It's illegal to stay. But,
well, as Catherine says, she's only got a couple of years left. Why not live it in paradise?
Yeah, I know. It's that's what we said. That's what we've said to people. Like, we go, in our last remaining years, I mean, why not be in a decent place? You know, where, and the thing is,
and not only that, Bob, it's really odd, but, you know, they're very welcoming. They're saying, hey, come, you know.
Just come and live here. But before we got to St. Petersburg, we're in Serbia, in Belgrade. And by the end of the time we were in Belgrade, we're going, okay, this is what we could do. we hear what we can do if you invest 510,000 euros in a Serbian government bond, they'll give you a passport. You'll become a Serbian citizen immediately. Right? So I'm thinking, okay. And then I'm talking to Catherine. I said, look, okay, let's say we live here. Like I was talking about living in Belgrade and saying to Catherine, why don't we just move here? Look at this, great. Then I'm saying to Catherine, I said, look, okay, we live here and we found, just in the last few days, we found these amazing restaurants, almost by accident. I said to Catherine, hey, you know what? We could just live here. We could get a little list of restaurants we go to, and then we'll just, like, hang out like everybody else does here. And and Catherine says, really? Like, we could do that? I said, yeah, why not? I said, it's pretty cheap to go to the restaurant here, and the food is amazing. Like the food, we were raving in Belgrade. I was saying to Catherine, like everything seems to taste better here. Like the food seems to have nutrients in it or something. And like,
well, they don't. I think in fact many countries in Europe don't use a certain thing like chemical fertilizer. And evidently in Serbia, they get their food from, where was it? It was the
Montenegro?
No, not Montenegro, but another M.
Monrovia.
No.
I'll think of it,
though.
Okay. I'll think
Montreal.
Of it.
No.
And
right nearby.
And then Russia, of course, produces a lot of its own food.
Macedonia? Sorry, I don't want to derail anything.
Macedonia. And believe me, I mean, in Serbia, we ate, I told Greg, I said, wow, I said, I've never eaten this fruit. What is it? He says, it's grapefruit. It was so good. It tasted like, you know, the good cousin of grapefruit, you know?
Yeah, all the food we had there, we're going, wow, this is really
and
good.
Even the peel and the membrane. The membrane on the citrus fruit is thinner, okay, and even the peel is easier to peel off the grapefruit. You know, sometimes you gotta fight the damn peel, right, to get it off, and then you've got all this pith. And I mean, we're getting most of our grapefruit in Canada. We're getting it from Florida or Mexico. And here, all of a sudden, we're eating this fruit that's absolutely delicious, not sour. There's none of this pith. The membrane is fine, and they're easy to peel. I said, what the hell is this?
Yeah, and we had oranges. We get these oranges, and we're going, we get some at this market, and then we sort of walk away, and we Kathy says, oh, let's have one. So we eat it. And then we go, oh, my God. And we go right back, and we get, like, double the amount we had.
Yeah.
Like, we're just – and it's – and then the guy at one of the stalls, he says, oh, I've got to – try a walnut. And I go, okay, I'll get the walnut. And I go, oh, my God, tasted a walnut before.
Yeah.
And we go, okay, give us some walnuts. I mean, it's – It's wild over here. I mean, and Bill.
Well, great. How did you meet Dimitri? How did that happen?
Okay,
well,
I'll tell you.
Well, that's really
a wild story. Yeah, this is strange. Okay, this is how it happened.
And I don't know if Greg told you about him, but he's like, you know, he's a fairly big shot artist in the States. He's represented by Saatchi, whatever that
is. I don't know.
Is.
He knows people like David Bowie and Annie Lennox and Madonna. I don't know.
We're in his gallery, and he's got like a high table, glass top table with a shelf in it where all these publications, and he's showing us all these articles that have been written where he's mentioned or he is the article, you know, and, he's exhibited in the same, I guess, I don't know, some Christie's gallery or something, you know, where Andy Warhol, give me some names.
Basquiat.
You know, and you can see, like, sometimes he's exhibited, like he's had an exhibit, and they're highlighting names of some people that attended the gallery opening. I mean,
David Rockefeller.
Yeah, David Rockefeller.
Henry Kissinger.
Yeah, Prince Andrew. I mean, it's...
No,
it's,
Prince... Prince, the one in
Monaco,
the Monaco guy.
Okay, Donald Trump. I mean, it's some years back. He's not even highlighted.
Yeah, Donald Trump is in the.
They're highlighting
Jade. I said he mentions Jade Barrymore, and I go, you know Jade Barrymore? Now this is. I mean, I know she's a bit obscure, but she's that other. You know what's her name?
Lisa Minnelli.
No. The girl who's got the talk show now. The woman that's got the talk show.
I don't know.
Who was in E.T.? Who's that?
Jade Barrymore.
No, not Jade Barrymore.
Oh, I don't know.
The one who was in that stupid Adam Sandler movie. Do you know what I'm talking about? Somebody say it.
Who knows?
You know, the one who was in E.T. as a little girl. It's her mother.
Anyway, does it matter?
It's her, hold on, it's her mother. Like, he mentions Jade, okay, he mentions Jade Barrymore, and I kind of know who Jade Barrymore is because she was on Howard Stern Show sometimes and doing crazy stuff. And her name is highlighted in this article, and Donald Trump's name is not. Weird.
But it's an old article, right?
Okay.
Old article.
But it's
an old article.
Yeah, and then there's like he's got at least one book, like a big art book, and it's
okay. Just stop for a second, okay, Catherine? I'm going to tell you how this all happened.
Yeah, because
there's
a really strange story.
It goes back 10 years. I am. It's May Day in Toronto. All right, May 1st, International Workers' Day, and. And I am going out with comrades, and I decide that I'm going to go out with the Soviet Union flag because I think it's, it has something to do with May Day. So, of course, all these Trotskyists and all that don't like that I'm doing it, but they don't say anything, but I know they don't like it. And I'm not even sure about my comrades, whether they like the idea, but anyway, I'm going out with it. So I'm walking along the streets of Toronto with all these other people on May 1st. This is 10 years ago. And I get to College and Yonge, for those of you that know Toronto. And a big, fairly big guy comes out with an accent, an Eastern European accent. And he goes, excuse me, why are you holding that? Why are you holding that? Oh, I think, no, he comes out speaking Russian to me.
No, he didn't say that. He starts speaking
Russian to me. And I'm going, oh, well, I don't speak Russian. Or I think maybe he's a Ukrainian or something. Anyway, and he goes, oh, and he says, why are you, in English, he goes, why are you holding that flag? And I said to him why I'm holding the flag, what the reason why I'm out there. And he's all happy about that. You know, he can't believe it. Can't believe I'm doing what I'm doing. And so we carry on walking and we're chatting and asking why, what he's doing. And he's come to Canada to learn English or to better his English and do something about the law or so. I don't know. Didn't quite understand that. But anyway, I said, hey, listen, today's May 1st. But May 9th, I'm going out on Victory Day. I know a guy on the internet who's going to come in. And then Daniel, we all know Daniel, right? Daniel's going to go out with me. And Catherine's going to come. And we're going to go all out and celebrate Victory Day. Victory over what they do in Russia. Victory over Nazism, right? In 1945. So, which nobody ever does in Canada, of course. Anyway, I go, if you want to come along, you're totally welcome. I'd love you to come along. He goes, okay, well, I'll see how my schedule is and all that. And we exchange, contact information. And so the day comes, May 9th comes, and he shows up. So we're there, the five of us, and we all go on like a march. Through the streets of Toronto, walk up from the Ontario legislature. We walk up to Bloor Street, and we're walking along Bloor Street, and some kind of priest comes out of an Anglican church. I think it's the Anglican church my parents were married in, and comes out like yelling at us. And then, not long after that, these men in black show up, and they've got earpieces, and they're going, "What are you doing?" And we're going, "Oh. Are you on a protest?" I said, "No, we're not on a protest. We're on a celebration. This is May Day. This is Victory Day. This is where the Soviet Union defeated fascism." Well, it's the RCMP. The RCMP stop us. They're alerted by someone at the the Ontario legislature that we're out and about, and they've tracked us down, and they're saying, well, what are you going to fight Ukrainians at the consulate? And we go, no. We didn't even know there are Ukrainians at the consulate. We were going on a march over to the Russian consulate, which at that time was on Church Street around Bloor. So we go, no. I said, we don't want any trouble. I go, well, there's not going to be trouble from our end. We're on a celebration. So we carry on. And then they start, when we get there, there's men in black sitting around having coffee across the street from us. And then the men in black, the police or whatever they are, tell us, oh, go to that parking lot. I said, I'm not going to a parking lot. I said, then we see the Ukrainians. And they're all degenerate, you know, like they're all old and worn out and holding up pictures of Putin with a Hitler mustache, which I think is pretty ironic. But anyway, and so this is 2014. This is 10 years ago. And so they start telling us to go into a private parking lot. I go, no. I said, we're going to stay right here on the street, on the sidewalk. If they're on the sidewalk over there, we're on the sidewalk here. And of course, that day, the Russian consulate is closed because it's Victory Day. They don't go into work on that day. So in Canada. So anyway, I said to everybody, I said, look, we're not leaving until those degenerates over there leave. And we timed them out. They packed up and left, and we stayed around a little while, and then we were off. Danny and I went off. We stayed until the bitter end. And so anyway, we knew this guy from Russia, and we'd get together with him, and he'd bring this girl along, like a hot girl, and we'd go out somewhere to a concert or some thing or other, and I go, how did you two meet? And he goes, oh, on Tinder. I go, whoa, that seems pretty extreme. But anyway, so advanced. Anyway, so we knew this guy, and he goes back to Russia, and one day we get these packages in the mail, and they're presents for us. They're quite big, and they're these Valenki boots, which are boots made out of, what are they made out of, Catherine?
Yak
fur or some goddamn thing. And they're meant to wear when it's really cold. And so,
and they say that they credit the helping the Russians win the war.
Yeah, it helped them win the war because they could, against Napoleon, because they could, you know, they kept their feet warm. So anyway, so, and then we lost touch with him a bit. And then we planned the trip to Russia. And I said to Catherine, you know, we should try and get together with Ilya, but we weren't even sure whether he was in Russia, because last time we found YouTube videos of him in Bulgaria or something. So we weren't sure where he was. So, but I wrote to him and tried to get in touch with him, and it looked like it wasn't going to work, and didn't hear anything back. Then one day, we get an email from him, and so we start communicating. And we say, we're coming to Russia. And he says, oh, I give him the dates. And he says, all right, I'm coming in. He's living in Kaliningrad, which is that place, like, away from Russia that's still Russia, next to Estonia.
Russia. It used to be Prussia.
It used to be Prussia, all right? So he says, oh, I'm going to fly in. He says, I'm coming in, and I'm going to meet you at the airport when you come in at 3:55 a.m. from Serbia. So I'm going, well, really? And, you know, and we're going back and forth about it on Telegram. And then he says to us, oh, I met this artist in St. Petersburg. And he really, you know, I want you to meet him. And he's going to give you he spelled it wrong, but he says he's going to give you the Skid Row tour of St. Petersburg. So this is while we're back in Toronto, right? Just before we're leaving. And I say to Kath, I come down and tell Catherine this, and I say, shh, you know, it's a bit weird, right? We're going to be, there's going to be some guy that, and he says, oh, this guy, this man we were in touch with over the, you know, in the 10 years, he says, he's going to send his driver to pick you up at the airport. I'm going, I don't know, this sounds kind of strange, Catherine, don't you? I mean, we could just get the bus from the airport into town and then get the subway, and we knew how to get to the hotel. And I'm thinking, sounds a bit dicey. I mean, we don't mind meeting the person we met, but then there's this other guy, and he's got a, sounds really swanky, and he's got a driver, and I was a bit dodgy about it, to be frank. And, but I thought, well, what can we do, right? So we get off the plane at 3:55 in the morning, by this point, 4:30, walk out, and there's our friend, comes over, you know, embraces us, and he's all excited about us being there. And there's this other man there, and they've got a, and we go out and we get a car, you know, a taxi or whatever, and we drive to the hotel. And, I mean, I could go on, but I mean, that's how we met this guy. And then, get this, we can't get into the hotel because it's not check-in time yet. It's like 6 o'clock in the morning and we're down at the hotel. So we drop our bags in at the hotel, leave, and then, you know, now what are we going to do? And we've been up the whole day in Serbia, had maybe a couple of hours sleep on the plane. I mean, we're okay at this point, but then we go back to his studio. This artist studio. We're sitting around with him and the other chap that we knew from Canada. And, you know, time goes on. We're chatting back and forth and, you know, he's talking about stuff. And we just start losing it. I mean, we're really tired. And so he says, oh, well, just go in there and we'll arrange, you know, pull out a bed there. From a couch, you know, a bed, and so Catherine and I just went in there and went to sleep, and that's the last time that we saw the guy that we knew from Canada. We knew he was going back within a few days, but we never saw him again. And we tried, we contacted him, and we kept saying to. Like, this guy from Canada that we knew, the Russian that we knew from Canada, he'd say, oh, I'm doing a press conference tonight at 8 o'clock, which we thought was strange, that there's some press conference. I don't know what the press conference was about. But he goes, and he's doing it at Dimitri's gallery. And so we tell Dimitri, he arrives alone, and we go, where's the other guy? He goes, oh, I don't know, he didn't want to come, or he's busy doing something. And we said, well, he's, to meet this other guy, we say to Dimitri, he's doing this thing at 8. We've got to be back by 8. He says, oh, okay, you know, yeah, well, let's go out now. We're going to go and do things. And then we look at, we're out doing all this crazy stuff, going to restaurants or historical sites or looking at buildings, and he's giving us anecdotes about what's going on. And then we go, shouldn't we be going back to this press conference that this other guy's having? He goes, oh, okay. Well, let me give him a call. So he calls him. And of course, we can't make any calls. We don't have any way of, we couldn't get a SIM card to work on my phone in Serbia. We don't have any control over the situation. We're out with this guy and we don't even know where the hell we are and or how to get back. We're at his mercy, really. And the whole idea of this guy just kind of goes away, and we're going, well, what about him? Like, we're supposed to be there. He says, I wouldn't worry about that too much. Oh, we'll do it tomorrow. He'll be done tomorrow. He'll do it tomorrow. And we go, well, all right. So tomorrow comes, and we're out and about and doing things, and it never happens. We never see the guy again. And oh, then this whole, the whole terrorist thing happened in Moscow. And Dmitry shows up and he goes, oh, well, he says, you know, this other guy, you know, he said, oh, how could I go out and have a good time if, or see things if, you know, when this terrible event happened, I, you know, I'd feel badly. We don't know. And we're hearing it all from this one guy, right? We don't know that that's really going on. That's what we're hearing. But we never see him again. And then he goes back. We contact him through Telegram only when we get back to the hotel, when we're, you know, dead tired and when we have internet access. And we did hear from him. And, you know, that's a whole story in itself. But he was sort of bitter in his letter. And but he knew where we were. He knew that we were at the hotel. It's all very strange. But anyway, that's how we know this guy, this artist guy, who has basically taken us here, there, and the other place, and often paid for, like,
he's our minder.
He's like our minder. Like, he goes, oh, we're going to go here. And I'm thinking, oh, we'll go on the bus or something. And he goes, oh, no. I'll phone up my girlfriend and she'll arrange for an Uber type of thing to show up. It isn't Uber, but and then a car shows up and then we're off. In, you know, within a minute or two, a car shows up. Even down at this place where, that I told you about, where we're at this castle, the girl just gets on the phone and then by the time we walk out, there's a car there. And then we're driving all the way back into St. Petersburg, which is, you know, it was a bit of a distance. And of course we're having an absolutely incredible experience here. It'd be rough to do on our own a bit, you know. I mean, it'd be a bit hit and miss, I suppose. And any of the things. But we're seeing St. Petersburg from a man who knows St. Petersburg inside out.
Born here,
knows like everything about it, apparently. Knows where, you know, like knows where to go to a place that no one would ever know about. That's a going concern of some sort. You know, I'm going to compare it to something, and I'm not all that, I've only seen this film once. And I'm probably not even referring to, you know, it could be any of the sequels of The Matrix. But do you remember there's a bit in one of them where they go to this restaurant and this guy's there and he's with this hot woman and they're talking about stuff and weird things go on in this restaurant. It's all white and it looks otherworldly. Do you remember that part?
Yeah, sure.
Yes. Yeah. It's like that. Being here is sort of reminds me of that scene. I'm not an expert about it. I've just seen the film once, as I said. But it's like that. It's like we're in an alternate universe. It doesn't seem real.
It sounds like that restaurant you found inside that apartment building. That sounds
it seems very real.
Say that again, Clinton.
It sounds like a speakeasy, you know?
Yeah, but it isn't. It can't be. I use those exact words. I said to Dmitry, I said, is this a speakeasy? No. He says, it's totally legal. They just changed from an apartment into a restaurant. And I said, you can just do that? He says, yeah. You can just do that. Yeah, they just tell the... They just tell the government that they're going to do that, and you know, the arrangements are made, and that's the end of it. It's like it looks like a really hip place, you know, we don't feel out of place being there, like we would in Toronto or you know, in Canada, like where, you know, everybody's look, what are these old people doing here? It isn't like that. I don't think. And I've never felt more hip in my entire life. and you know, we, you know, Catherine turns 70 and people are going, what? Like, you're 70? Like, nobody can believe it. And they're not just being nice. They don't have to say anything. But it's true. I mean, Catherine doesn't look 70, you know? Especially
what's
here.
True?
Catherine doesn't look 70, you know? You know, especially
so
here.
So what are you talking about? Why are you talking about Catherine and what she looks?
Because people, like Catherine doesn't hide the fact that she says, I'm here. People say, why have you come here? And she goes, oh, I've come here because it's a present for my 70th birthday. And people go, you don't look 70. It's consistent, you know. They go,
yeah.
What? Like, and even though...
Well, all people who went to Baldwin Foods survived.
I guess so. But I also think, in part, that we're just getting we're getting better nutrition here. I think we got better nutrition in Belgrade. I mean, we were walking all around that place. I didn't even figure out how to use the buses until the last, the last 2-3 days. And so we were walking everywhere.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. I get it. Although I'm going to end it. We got to go to sleep. But anyway, that's my,
well,
that's
a great
my
story, Greg. I wish you would go to Moscow and live it out.
3 o'clock. You wish I would go what?
To Moscow and live out this fantastic story. Hype for Putin that you just made up.
Well, we're going to be going there in a little over 36 hours.
And how long are you going to be there?
We're going to be there for 10 days.
We'll give you a report next Wednesday.
Yeah, I'll give you a report next Wednesday.
Yeah, now you could easily move to Moscow and still be on the show. It's so clear.
Yeah, well, look, I'm in St. Petersburg. I mean, I'm not having any trouble hooking into the turbo bridge.
Yeah,
but one thing...
Are you sipping or web calling? How are you doing it?
Yeah, I'm on the web call.
Yeah. Very clear.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm just using a Chromebook. And the only thing you can't do here is you can't do Facebook.
Yeah.
So what I
that
do...
That reminds me, I wanted to ask you, the music. Catherine said the music is good or something. What is it, Russian music?
I don't know. It's just, no, not particularly Russian. It could be. Okay, Catherine, stop. What do you want me to do? You want me to go to another room? Okay, all right. Hold on a second.
No, we're going to end in a minute, Greg.
Yeah, I know.
Did you do, I had to talk to Carolyn, so I missed, I guess, the Dmitry story. Ten years ago, you met him at the protest, and then...
No, I didn't meet him. I'm not going to give you the name of the other guy that I met. We'll just say he's a Russian guy that I met at the protest. He's the initiator. Basically, he somehow, like, we just thought we'd be hanging out with this Russian guy here for a few days because he was going to fly in especially to see us. He hands us over to this artist, and then we've been with this artist every day that we've been with.
And he's quite famous.
Evidently, he's famous in some circles, yeah.
So that's, your friend was going to come, you thought, but he didn't.
He arrived here. We met him at the airport.
The friend that initiated this.
Yeah, he came. He flew in.
Oh, when?
But then he flew in the day we came, which was the 21st. We arrived at 3:55 a.m. from Belgrade, and we walked out the door, and there's our friend that I met 10 years ago, just haphazardly, right, that he came up to me because I had a Soviet flag.
Yeah.
And he's got this artist guy with him. And then we walk out of the airport and get into a cab, and they take us to the
to the hotel, and then we can't get into the hotel because we can't book in because it isn't check-in time. It's 6 o'clock in the morning. The check-in time isn't until, I don't know, noon or something. And so we go to this artist studio, hang around for a bit until we like start dropping off. We're tired. So he put us on a sofa bed in his studio, which is huge, and where he lives. And and then we were getting ready just to lie down. And we see he and the guy I met in Canada, who initiated all this, I see them putting their shoes on as if they're going to go out and do something. And that's the last I saw of the guy that I knew 10 years ago in Toronto. We never saw him again.
Well, did you know him through the 10 years in Toronto? You see him much?
No, I hadn't seen him at all in 10 years.
Wow. Well, how did you know to get in touch with them?
Well, we just thought, we had some communication with him. And then I think a few months ago, I booked the trip, right? I knew we were coming. So I started looking him up. And I found some videos on YouTube. And he was like hanging out in Bulgaria. And making videos and playing guitar and singing songs and things like that. Really? I didn't know he did that. But I couldn't get in touch with him. So I tried every which way I could. I had his email address. I had all this stuff I had. I couldn't get in touch with him. But I tried. And then, I don't know, maybe about a month before we left, if that, I get an email from him, and he says, oh, it's great you're coming. It's great, great. You know, and I gave him the details, and he says, I'll come and see you when you come in. I'll be there when you arrive. I'm going to fly in. I go, okay. So
where was he going to fly from?
Kaliningrad.
He's in Russia.
That's the part of Russia that isn't directly connected with the main part of Russia. It's that little outpost that belongs to Russia. So he's going to fly in from there. So, and he did. But when he described, when he said that he was coming to St. Petersburg to see us, to be there when we arrived, he says, I've got this artist guy who's, who is going to give you a full tour of St. Petersburg. And I figured that the guy I knew from 10 years ago in who's going to show up at the airport, he's going to go with us. But we're all going to be hanging out together doing something. But as it turned out, we're just hanging with the artist and his girlfriend sometimes, and the guy that I knew and that flew in especially, he just disappears.
And so how much time did you spend with him?
Who?
The Leningrad guy.
The Kaliningrad guy? Okay. We meet. I'll give you an exact timeline, all right? We arrive on the plane at 4 o'clock in the morning. We come out of the plane, we go through customs and immigration, and we walk out. I'm figuring we walked out of there maybe at around 4:30, maybe, I don't know, 4:30, quarter to 5 in the morning, if that. And there they are, these two guys. So, we do a big, wow, great to see you. He's so happy to see us. And we've got our bags, and they say, let's go this way. We're going to get a cab. So we get a cab, and it's not that far from the airport into where our hotel is, even though the hotel is right in the center of things. So I guess we got there, 4:45? We're like 5:30 At 5:30 in the morning, we arrive at the hotel. And we go in, and the guy at the desk goes, you can't check in yet. You gotta wait until, when can we check in? He says, well, maybe around noon? And it's 6 o'clock
in
the morning.
Yeah, that's like in the West. That's like in the West.
Yeah. So it's 6 o'clock. It's 6 o'clock in the morning. So we're going. I'm thinking, okay, what the hell are we going to do for 6 hours? And at that point, I'm not feeling all that tired. I'm, you know, got a bit of energy. So Dimitri says, "Oh, look over to my studio. We'll just hang out at my studio because nothing's
over." So your friend
over.
Is still there.
Friend is still there. Yeah. So we go over to his studio. We're sitting around chatting about things. And so that's around, I don't know, 6 o'clock in the morning. Then around 8:20, Catherine goes, she says, "I'm losing it. I gotta lie down. I just gotta lie down." And I go, "Yeah," I said, "I'm starting to lose it too." And they go, "Oh, okay." And so we're ushered to some room. Our friend organizes this, couch, this bed, couch type thing. You pull out bed. And we get into bed. So this is like about 8:30 in the morning. And we see our friend and the artist guy putting their shoes on as if they're going to go out. And so they walk, we think, oh, well, we'll wake up. Which we did, of course. We woke up around noon. And, I didn't want to get up. I was just tired. And so we get up, and this artist is there, Dimitri's there. The other guy is, and we go, "Well, where's so-and-so?" "Oh, he went to his hotel." And we go, "Oh, okay." So, and he goes, and then somehow we got to the hotel, and put our bags in. And I think we kept going. I think he said, "Oh, we'll go and have this or go and do this." And we were off and running with the artist guy. And so that was the end of it. Yeah, we the guy who flew in from Kaliningrad, we saw him for a grand total of about, 4 hours at the most.
Yeah.
And then it was over. We never saw him again. Even though
he took you with Dimitri to Dimitri's place.
Yeah, he was at Dimitri's place, and then we went into bed, and then he was gone, and then we never saw him again. And we'd send him messages on Telegram going, "Okay, well, like, are you meeting us?" Or what? He said, "Oh, I'm gonna have a press conference." Well, meanwhile, Dimitri, we'd be talking about this guy with Dimitri. He goes, "Oh," and I said, "Well, he's got some pretty strange ideas. Like he's," and he would go on about, "I've heard his ideas. They don't make any sense." and so we're going, "Oh, yeah, okay, but."
How old is your friend?
I would say that he's maybe in his early to mid-30s now, and Dimitri's in his mid-50s.
This guy you met was 20 when you met him.
Yeah, I think he was quite young. He might have been 24, 25 maybe, so he's maybe in his mid-30s now. Wait, Catherine...
Now, how many times did you see him in the last 10 years in person?
I didn't see him at all.
You only met him that one day at the protest.
No, he came and went on May Day with us, and as I said, we'd invite him over to the house, and I think he was in Canada for about 3 months. So we'd see him quite often in that 3 months. We'd invite him over to the house, and then he'd say, he'd get in touch with us, "I'm with this girl, and we're going to a concert, and do you want to come along?" And we'd go, "Okay," so we'd go somewhere, go to this little concert, strange little concert of some sort, and of classical music, I think it was, or some, I don't know what it was, but I can't really remember. And he'd have this, I don't know, he met at least one girl that he was going with, you know, a hot girl, and like I said, they met on Tinder or something. and then they came over to the house, and Catherine made dinner, and yeah, so we were, you know, like, we were hanging out together quite a bit when he was in town.
For 3 months?
He was in town for about 3 months, and we, you know, I don't know how long it was until I met him, but yeah, I mean, we socialized quite a bit. Inviting
and
him
then
over.
Never again?
Well, no, because he went back to Russia.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So what, you said you were looking for him. Did you say he was on YouTube in Bulgaria?
Yeah, I found, well, you know, I was doing, I tried to send him an email, and it bounced back. Then I went to found a website, and then that didn't work, and then I thought, I don't know what made me think, oh, I started doing, Google searches about his name, and I go, oh, he's got a YouTube channel. Is that the same guy? And I go to the videos, and I go, yeah, that's him. And he's out doing kind of hippie stuff in Bulgaria with this, you know, hot-looking girl, and making videos, and I can find that he's doing stuff, but I can't get in touch with him. And then I think what happened was I opened up my LinkedIn profile, and I saw his name in there. So I thought, oh, I'll try and send him something there, just on the off chance that he'll get it. And then, I don't know, like a month later, after I tried so many ways of getting in touch with him, but a month later, he writes to me on LinkedIn and gives
because
me
because he's seen you've been there.
Yeah, I sent him a message, and so
right.
he sent me his contact information, and he gave me a Telegram address, so I used that application to communicate with him. And so
how long are you going to be in Moscow?
About 10 days.
How come you didn't come to the show last week?
We were traveling.
Okay.
Yeah, we were on the plane. Like, we were on until I tried to get on when we were sitting in the airport, but I think I was too early for the show. And then we got on the plane, and then we landed in St. Petersburg. And then, you know, I mean, it just, you know, there's no way.
We could go here in Serbia then. So then you start flying to St. Petersburg.
Right now it's what, in Canada, it's what, Wednesday night?
It would be 8:30 in the evening in New York.
Well, let me put it this way. At this time last week, we were landing in St. Petersburg after a three-hour flight from Belgrade. And I think when I got on, there was something funny about the Wi-Fi in Belgrade at the airport. Anyway, it was impossible. And then the week before that, I mean, we were just so busy in Belgrade doing things. And
So you're going to do 10 days in Moscow, then you're coming back?
No, we're going to Turkey. Pardon?
After that, what?
Oh, we're going to Turkey for a few days, and then we fly to London for a week. Then we come back. We're staying in London. I'm going to the town where I would leave to go to work every day on the train, which was just I can't remember how long it took, between 15 and 30 minute walk from a little house that I lived in. That my family owned in a little village. And so I'm going to be staying in the town where the railway is, which is a fairly major railway junction. And there's a straight...
That's in England? Or England?
Yeah, in England, yeah. And there's a direct line from that station right into London. It only takes about 25 minutes or something. So, and we're going to be using the train quite a bit because we've got a special pass to use for the time we're there.
Okay, so listen, Greg.
Yeah.
I should get you in touch with Andrew Greenaway in London, who has written many books on Zappa. And
right.
I can tell him that you have a great story from Moscow or from Russia. You get together with him, you know, as a friend of Bob. He'd be an interesting guy to talk to. You could talk a bit about Zappa, right?
Sure.
Yeah, so do you want me to email you and him and hook you up and see if he's interested?
Well, we'll see, you know, I mean, it's. I think we're going to have, yeah, I mean, I have no objection to that. And if we can arrange to do something, that would be fantastic. We're going to be, it's going to be a rather busy trip, I think, but, you know, I'm visiting with...
Well, you know, on the last day or first day when you come into London.
We're visiting, you know, I'm visiting, I don't have many relatives there, but, I mean, I should, but I don't. We're meeting up with some relatives and an old colleague in the animation business.
Well, it's only 25 minutes, so he could probably fit it in some afternoon or something. But
sure,
the thing is,
the guy
knows the Zappa family well, Dweezil and everybody. You know, he's a promoter of Zappa. He has web shows and stuff. So I think he might be an interesting guy to talk to. And I see him on my Facebook page. You know how you see people on your Facebook page? People who are connected to it or something, and they show him all the time on my page.
Sure, if it works out, fine. I was dodgy about this guy that this artist guy, and you know, maybe I should be more dodgy about him. But I mean, it's been amazing. I mean, the guy has, here's the other thing. Like, we've got a budget, right? And it's hard to pay for things. I mean, he's just paying for. I had to force the situation to pay for anything. And you know, we're driving, he gets arranges for these cabs and things like that. Well, there's nothing I can do about that. He does it all through an application. So it's amazing. I mean, we're being treated amazingly by this guy. And he loves showing us around. He knows so much about things. And
what did you say about the cabs? He's registration? What did you say?
Well, you know, when you order these online cab things, I mean, they don't exchange money. They do it all through an application. So we don't have any power to pay for it because we don't even know how much it costs. And he goes, don't worry about it. You know, we just do it all the time. We're on.
Well, you mean, if he's successful, he's got a lot of money, so it's no problem.
I guess so. And you know, we've had to actually make an arrangement tonight. We said, look, we got to pay for this. He said, no. He said, okay. He says, you pay for everything in Moscow. I go, oh, okay. You know, so it's he introduces me. He tells people when we go into places. I mean, I don't ask him to do this. But he tells people, he does Bugs. I hear him talking Russian, and I hear the word Bugs Bunny come up. Right? He does Bugs Bunny.
Did he talk about you?
Yeah. He says, he does Bugs Bunny.
He says this guy knew Bugs Bunny. He knew Bugs Bunny.
No, he says he did Bugs Bunny. You know, and so people go, whoa. They look at him, oh. And so then we were at, like, for instance, last night. We were having the bear and the moose and all that. So he tells these women as we're leaving, he says, he does Bugs Bunny. So, you know, and then I think, well, you know, what's the point of telling these people that I do Bugs Bunny? I mean, so I walk over and I said, have you got a piece of paper? And so
Say you didn't tell them about Bugs Bunny?
No. He tells them.
Yeah, but then you just said something about it.
So I'm thinking, what use is it to them that I do Bugs Bunny? I mean, they're just looking at me like, oh, you know, he's some guy, right? I mean, and so then I feel obligated. I think, well, I better do a drawing or something just to prove that I, you know, can do Bugs Bunny.
Yeah, do it.
So I asked for a piece of paper. I split it in half to two waitresses. So I do some quick sketches of Bugs Bunny. And by this point, I'm becoming, after not drawing for a long time, I mean, I'm getting pretty practiced, because everywhere I go, I'm doing drawings of Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck and Porky Pig and Tasmanian Devil.
Because this guy tells everybody.
Well, he tells people, and I think, well, I better do something, because it's just silly if he just says it, right? So, and prior to me doing drawings for other people, I was sitting in the hotel. We're having breakfast, and a guy walks in, a young guy with his girlfriend or wife or whatever it is, sits down. He's wearing this big Warner Brothers shirt, and with all the characters on it, got Bugs Bunny, and all of them are on this shirt, just all over the place. So I think, and I look at Catherine, and I said, look at that. And I said, I got to do a drawing. I mean, you know, here I am, sitting in this restaurant in St. Petersburg. Guy walks in with this, you know, obviously a fan of Warner Brothers cartoons. And I thought, and he's sitting right next to some, you know, kitty corner to someone who actually did Warner Brothers cartoons. I thought, I really should do something for him. So, Catherine goes out and gets some paper, and I'm sitting at the table, and I'm drawing. Guy has no idea what I'm doing, not even looking at me, right? And so I'm doing this drawing, and the couple, an older couple behind us, who are Russians, they go, "What are you doing?" And I go, I'm doing this drawing. They speak a bit of English. And I said, I'm doing this drawing for that guy over there because he has a shirt. Oh, I said, well, let me have a look. And they go, whoa. I got on one drawing, I got the Tasmanian Devil, Bugs Bunny, Daffy Duck, Tweety Pie, Sylvester. So anyway, I'm spending a bit of time on it, and I'm wondering, is the guy going to get up and go before I'm finished? So anyway, I managed to get it done, and I take it over, and I give it to the guy. Well, then it's like they're taking pictures of me with him, and everybody's just all over. They're going, whoa, look at this. So I get back to the chair, and these people are going, well, why are you doing drawings like that? I said, well, I worked on a little bit. And so I go, well,
this guy with his shirt, isn't he with you?
No. No.
But he walked in with the shirt.
Yeah. He walks in. He's one of the people staying at the hotel, and he comes down in a Bugs Bunny shirt.
And Dimitri doesn't talk to him?
Oh, Dimitri's not even there. It's just Catherine and me. Yeah, just Catherine and me. We're sitting having breakfast in the morning.
This guy. You don't even have any reason to talk to him, and you went over and hand him some drawings.
Yeah, I give him a drawing. I give him a drawing, like a group drawing of all these Warner Brothers characters, because
he hasn't even spoken to you.
No, hasn't spoken to me at all. Yeah. But I was thinking to myself, here I am in St. Petersburg. I'm sitting here, sort of an anonymous person sitting in a room with people. A guy walks in with a Bugs Bunny, he's got Bugs Bunny Warner Brothers characters all over his shirt, and I'm thinking, oh, I gotta do something.
Yeah, no, I get it. Well, that's very nice.
So then the people, these older couple behind me, I said, do you want me to do a drawing? So then I go, okay, well, yeah. So I did a big drawing of Bugs Bunny for them, and they're just thrilled. And then another woman comes, a younger woman comes over and says, oh, my son loves the characters and all that. And by this point, I haven't got any paper left. And, Catherine's talking to her about something, and we're writing down notes or about something. And then I go, I'll do a little Tweety Pie. She says, she's talking about her son and how much her son loves him. And I said, what's your son's name? George. I said, well, I'll do a little, so I did a little drawing of Tweety Pie and saying, hi, Georgie, or something. And I mean, it wasn't a very involved drawing, unfortunately, of him, but anyway, it was something. But
so
yeah,
when is he going to be in Moscow? No, London. London.
London, I think from the from April 12th to the 19th.
April 12th, 19th. Okay, good. So I give Andrew the dates. So listen to this, Greg. Here's your sending off information. Chad managed to find in Scott Norris's own website, he hacked it, and he went in there, and he found the 90 hours of R&B doo-wop that Danny Romanello broadcast at Fordham University that I taped for many years, which is on... It's on dobsound.com as American DNA is what I call it, but it doesn't, you can't get to it because all the five bodies all fucked up and Matt's fixing it. Oh, Matt Shepard's going to make a new site and everything. He's finally come around to do something, so that'll be all fixed up. But anyways, we have 90 hours of fucking music no one's ever heard, and we're going to put it on the Zappa site, Bob on Zappa YouTube channel, and I'm going to say this is the music from Zappa's 745s he had, you know, since the 50s. This is a Zappa archive of the music. And it should cause quite a sensation on the Zappa fans. Anyways, if you want to hear incredible fucking music from the 50s, early 60s, we'll be posting it soon. You'll be able to listen to it all. But it's 90 hours of it that I taped.
Is it true that this is from Zappa's archive specifically?
No. I know what he had in his archives. And this Dan Romanello is an incredible authority. I'll post a couple of articles on him. He did the show for 20 years, and he stopped in 2017, 2018. But he retired. But the thing is, what he plays, I know Zappa had.
Okay, gotcha.
Zappa played some of it for me. Every now and then I was there. So it's not everything, but it is an incredible archive for the younger fans of Zappa who don't know that music and can't really hear it anywhere. So we're going to have that as an exclusive part of our website. And also, we found Bill sent all the shows that we did all these years to me, and I gave them to Chad, so we're rebuilding the archive there for now until we see what Bill's going to do, but we're going to have it. But there's 2 years of what was called Cochos from 2017. As a matter of fact, you're on there at one of the beginnings, so we have a date when you, 2017, when you were on our show.
Yep,
anyways,
yep.
Yeah, and so we got 2 years or so, 111 shows or hours or something for 2 years or more. And it has... Because they didn't delete the music from it, because we deleted all that, we had to delete from the main shows 10 years of stuff, because they were saying you can't have it, regular music in your archive.
Mm-hmm.
But we have 2 years of a lot of music, and so if they're listening here, all the I-Nots are going to be able to listen to the shows I did with all that great DJing. We got lots of archive of it that's going to be posted.
Oh,
so you can go and listen to the great music I did. What'd you say?
I said, great news. Anyway, Bob,
yeah,
Bob,
fantastic,
Bob,
fine.
Bob, just on another note here. I have a, is Chad still around?
He's listed, but I don't know if he's still there. You there, Chad?
Yeah, I'm still here, Bob. Great.
Okay, I got a question for Chad, and forgive me for asking the question because it might be personal. Okay, so you left Serbia.
Yeah.
Okay. The question I have is, did you leave with a Serbian passport?
No, I never got a passport. No.
So you didn't. So you weren't there long enough to get citizenship.
We could have applied after we got our permanent residence earlier this year, but we didn't bother.
You didn't do it, huh? Okay.
No.
Okay, because I've been reading up about how to get Serbian citizenship. And, you know, there were, you know, there's a few ways to do it. And one of them is that if you go there and don't leave for 3 years, and you say that your home is in Serbia, you can get citizenship.
Wow.
Well, it's 3 years. It was 5 years during the time that we were there. Mm-hmm. Earlier this year, they changed it to 3 years. And you have to have a certain status there. So you can either do it as an entrepreneur, but you have to prove your entrepreneur activities. Now it's more difficult.
Yeah, yeah. Or, the other thing that, I mean, I mentioned it earlier in the show, evidently if you invest something a little over 500,000 euros,
yeah,
in Serbian government bonds, they just give you the passport. You're a citizen.
Okay, I'm not aware of that.
Yeah. Anyway, I just wondered whether you sort of reached some threshold there. But, I mean, the moment we got there, I'm going, oh, you know, I got to figure out how to, I mean, before we got to St. Petersburg, I'm going, okay, we got to figure out how to get over here. So, because, I mean, I liked it. I compare St. Petersburg and Belgrade. The best word I can use about Belgrade by comparison is that Belgrade's very earthy. And that word has not been used much. It used to be used in the early 1800s a lot. I looked up the meaning of it, and I think it suits suits what I'm saying.
You're saying earth, E-A-R-T-H?
Earthy. Yeah, earthy. Yeah, earthy. I found it earthy. it's there's something kind of raw, but appeal is sophisticated about it, and I don't know. It's a really, I find it very interesting. I'm very attracted to it, actually.
That's only in Belgrade, not St. Petersburg.
Well, I'm just talking. We hit Belgrade first, so that was the. I was talking about moving there while we were in Belgrade. Then we got to St. Petersburg, and going, well, I mean, this is a whole different level. I mean, it's. Of course, you know, you get Catherine here, and she's going, oh, no, I want to be here. But, and I can understand.
In Petersburg?
Yeah. I can understand why she's saying that. It's just that I guess I have some kind of attraction, I guess, to Belgrade. I mean, obviously, I knew people from Serbia, and I have a certain predisposition towards it. But when I got there, I went, oh, yeah, I can see what's going on here. You know, I mean, it's, there's a lot of really, it's really wonderful.
Are you talking about Serbia in that sense?
Yeah, I'm talking about Belgrade. When I got to Belgrade, I thought, oh, I've hit pay dirt here. I mean, this is, it took me 2-3 days to get my head around it. The first thing about Belgrade is, that I couldn't figure out how to get from place to place. It just seems so confusing. And the way the roads are, it's like no other place I've ever been to. I mean, I was thoroughly confused about everything.
Hmm.
And it didn't help that we went to this Yettel, you know what that is, right?
The channel. Cell phones, yeah.
Yeah.
Cell phone company.
We went there, and we I said, oh, Catherine said, oh, you've got to get it, you know, got to get a SIM card. I go, okay, we'll go get a SIM card. So we go in and go to the store, and they're really helpful. And so we go to this thing, and the guy says, oh, yeah, you can get a thing that'll last for a week, and it costs about $6. I go, okay. So, you know, pretty cheap. And so he opens up the phone, my phone, puts the SIM card in, and cannot get it to work. And so then he goes, oh, give me your wife's phone. So opens that up, And this is taking a bit of time, right, for a $6 card. And so he puts it in there, and it won't work. And so he looks up on his computer. He looks up my phone, and he goes, yeah, it's not going to work here. You know, your phone isn't up to spec or something. Yet, I mean, you put a SIM card in my phone in Canada or in the United States, works fine. The Wi-Fi worked when we were at the hotel, but the system, I mean, I don't totally understand why it won't work with a SIM card and with a, you know, with a serving SIM card, or I presume.
Well, if your phones are from North America and they're more than, I don't know how many years old, 2 or 3 years old, are they older?
No, they might. They're about that, 3 years older, 3 years
yep.
old, yeah.
They lock the phones in North America. They lock to the, the cell provider.
Yeah.
And all the phones in Europe have been unlocked for many years.
Well, my phone was unlocked. I got it unlocked. So
okay.
he looked it up, and he says, oh, yeah, you see, we're on system da-da-da-da-da-da-da. This is only up to system something, you know? And he says, this is not going to work. And I go, well, all right. So that made it very difficult to get around. But we did use, I downloaded the offline maps on Google, from Google, and it worked on Catherine's phone. So we could go out, and if we could sort of figure out what was going on, we were on the bus near late on in the trip, and we could see where we were moving along, and we kind of knew what was going on with these offline maps. But interestingly, it doesn't work here. When we leave the in the hotel, we've got Wi-Fi, but as soon as we leave, none of the translation software works and none of the maps work. Even though I've downloaded the map for St. Petersburg, and I downloaded the language of Russian for the. So I guess it's sanctions, right? Google won't do it here.
Probably. Yeah.
Even if you've downloaded it to your phone and you're doing it offline, they you can't do it. So it's.
With Google Maps, there are other map programs. I use Osmand, and it's offline maps. It's on your phone. It's just an app. It uses your GPS. It'll show you where you are. But it's got nothing to do with Google, right? It's just offline mapping software.
Well, if you could send me an email about that, Clinton, and I'll try to download it and use it. Because I said to Catherine, I said, this is going to be a nightmare in Moscow because we're going to get there on, we're going up on Friday, and Dmitry and his girlfriend are going up to Moscow with us. And they're going to be there till Monday. So they're going to show us all the secret stuff in Moscow. And then they're heading back on the Monday. And then we've got a full week there on our own until we leave for Turkey. So I said to Catherine, I've got to do something. I've got to get some kind of phone. I was thinking of buying a phone here. And we were in that big electronics store. And I don't know whether it'll, I almost didn't care whether it would work in Canada or not, but I assume it will. I don't know what's going on with that, the technology and the sanctions and so on, but thanks for that hint. But the offline language and offline maps worked in Serbia, but they don't work here on Google. Google Translate and Google Maps. So anyway,
did you go to the Sava Temple in Belgrade?
Oh yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, we did. We went on what was said to be a free walking tour. Mm-hmm. And you have to give the guy some money, of course. But we stayed in area around Republic Square.
Yes.
Okay, our hotel was right in there, opposite this 24-hour grocery store called Max.
Oh, you were in Indigo. Were you in Indigo Hotel?
No, we were Privilege Suites or something.
Oh, okay.
And again, kind of a weird little hotel, but you know, we had a fairly nice room, but it was right opposite that Maxi store. And you know, you know what it's like, that whole walking area they have there,
yeah.
Right? Which
people
are just hanging out all the time. Everybody's just hanging out, having fun.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, all ages. And, I mean, it's just, everybody's walking around all the time.
That's right.
And, that's where we were staying. So in Republic Square one day, we went to the tourist office there, and they told us about these walking tours. So we went on that. So this guy took us all the way from Republic Square all the way over to the St. Sava church. And then I think Catherine and I walked back from there. We walked all the way over and all the way back. And because I didn't know how to use the buses. we've got to get a printed ticket, you know, which, like, we met a girl at a Serbian girl at an art opening that was happening in that area where I just talked about where our hotel was. And we got to talking with her, and we told her that we bought a ticket. And she just laughed at us. She says, no one buys tickets. they just get on the bus. We just do fare evasion all the time. Then this is a woman who, she was a structural engineer doing bridges. And so she's saying, oh, you know, people say, no one buys tickets. They just get on the bus. Because what are they going to do to you?
Yeah.
And we never saw anybody getting on checking fares or anything when we did manage to get on the bus. I'm gripping this ticket I've got that I bought. And the ticket costs for all day. You can go around on the bus all day. And it costs, I don't know, like $1.20.
Yeah.
So just like some things are just ridiculously cheap. To me,
oh, yeah.
Anyway. And and we didn't hardly use it at all. I mean, we'd get it in the last few days. I'd get the ticket and we'd do something, but you know, we're doing other things. We're going to the Nikola Tesla Museum, or and you know what I liked about the place, Chad? There are parks everywhere.
Yes.
Everywhere there's a park, and it's amazing. I mean,
did you go to Calamagdan, the fortress?
Yes. Oh, and that's amazing. I mean, there's just so many incredible things there. I mean, just unbelievable. It's been a real trip. I mean, I've never been on anything like this before in my life. And you know, I've been to Paris and Rome and so on, but this takes the cake. I mean, and I tell people here, well, you know, I really like Serbia, and they go, Serbia or Belgrade. Oh, wow, you know, that's nothing.
Yeah.
And I said, well, I like it. You know? And
a lot of Russians moved to Belgrade.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, I know. Yeah. I know. We didn't meet any, but that we knew of, anyway. No, I really enjoyed it. I really, really enjoyed the feeling of the place. And the bus tickets were hard to find, because you'd go to this kiosk and you go, bus ticket, and they go, no. And I kept reading, oh, they sell bus tickets in Republic Square. And I go to Republic Square, I look around, I said, I don't see anybody or any machine or anything selling tickets. And then there was the same kiosk thing that we saw in other places where I went up to and asked for tickets, and they just laugh at me or go, no, 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 we don't do that. So I went up to this one in Republic Square, and she responded and said, yeah, yeah, yeah. And they, but I guess there's so little demand for a paper ticket that they just don't put them in the kiosks anywhere. You have to go to Republic Square to get the ticket because everybody's using, digital stuff.
Yeah.
So anyway, I figured that out in the last few days. And so I was excited about, because I'm a big public transit fan, you know. So I just wanted to travel on buses and trams and anything they had there. I just wanted to get on the bus. And so that's what, for, you know, maybe a couple of hours every day, I'd say, oh, come on, I've got to get on the tram. So we'd just get on a tram and go somewhere. Oh, did you know that market out, the market out, you know, there's a big market where it looks like a lot of gypsies sell stuff, and then there's fruit and vegetables all over the place. You know
was
that
it by,
place?
Yeah, was it by the Bohemian Quarter, Skidarska, Skidarlia?
Maybe. My friend from, my Serbian friend kept talking to me about it. So we eventually, I don't know, how did I find it? Did we walk there? I can't remember. Anyway, we found the place, and it was on a day where it wasn't so busy, and I needed to change some money. So went into this, and that's the other weird thing about Serbia. There's all these money-changing places.
Yeah, on every corner.
They're everywhere. And I'm thinking, what are they doing? Like, what? How much money changing can possibly go on? And and one day we went to we got some dinar. We went to around where we were staying. I said, okay, let's go to that. There's a guy doing money there. Let's go to that guy, and then we'll go to the bank. And we'll see what the difference in the, we'll do $100 here and $100 at the bank and see what's going on. So we go to the guy in the little booth, that, you know, looks kind of shady. We go to the guy in the booth, give him $100, and he gives you, the numbers are so big. he gives you these dinar, right? And it's like 10 times the amount, so
it'd be like 13,000 dinars, probably.
Yeah, okay, so, yeah, something like that. It was lower than that, but anyway. So we get the money, and I go, okay, we got that amount. So let's go to the bank. So we go into the bank, and we didn't have to show our passport or anything, right? So we go to the bank, and it's a whole different scene, all official, and got to line up and go through the whole thing. They're printing out pieces of paper. They're looking at the passports. And you know, it's very, you know, they're very serious. And you get the money, and it's virtually the same amount. I mean, it's exact. It's 105. 105, I remember. Like
10,500 dinars.
10,500 for $100. So I'm going, okay, we got basically, it ended up rounded out to exactly the same amount of money. And that's pretty much what we got there. But anyway, at the market, I saw a money changing thing. And I thought, I should get some money. Let me go in and just change some money. So I went in. And I got 10,800. So I got a bit more. You know, like I got another 300 dinar. And you know, which goes a little way, right? So,
yeah.
You know, it's not much, but, you know, it's something. So then the next day Catherine and I just got on a bus. I said, let's just get on the bus and go somewhere. And so we're going around here and there, and we end up right there at this market. And on a whole different street, but I can see that it's the market. So, oh, let's get off here. So we get off, and we're looking at all the little trinkets they're selling there and crazy stuff and stuff they found in the garbage. I don't know. And we buy some fruit, and people are selling all kinds of things there. And so then I go, oh, let me go to the little place where I got the money because I got a good rate there. I'll exchange some more dinar. So I go in, and it's a different guy in there. And there's all this paraphernalia around. But anyway, we change the money, and I get, I can't remember, I think I got less than I did the other time. But, you know, that happens. And Catherine's looking at these books and stuff that's all in there. And I'm poking around. Guy comes out of his little booth, and he says, that's, none of this is for sale. And we go, oh, okay. He says, no, this is just my collection. I'm collecting things all the time and putting them out. And go, oh, all right. And so, and we notice that there's things about Native people, you know, Native Americans, and there are books about that. It's not all about that, but there's quite a bit. And he's got pictures of Che Guevara up. And so we say, anyway, he says, oh, where are you from? We say, Canada. Oh, Canada. He says, and so, anyway, he starts telling us all about...
What'd you say about Canada?
Oh, he goes, oh, Canada. Yeah, oh, Canada. I know about that. And he's impressed we're from Canada. And he says, yeah, he says, and he shows us all of these things about Native people, about tribes, and he shows us books that he's collected about Native people, and it's like there are a lot of them are Serbian books, they're like comic books, but they're about Native people, and we go, and he says, yeah, he says, we, you know, they treat Native people really bad. He says, oh yeah, I know. and we were going on about how, I don't know, it was just an amazing meeting talking to this guy. And I said, you know more about Native people than probably any Canadian or American in the whole continent.
Hey, Greg, that was the first thing that an Uber driver in St. Petersburg said to me when he felt comfortable enough to start conversing with me. He said, hey, we wonder here in Russia, why did you guys kill so many of your Native people?
Yeah,
like, why didn't you
yeah.
just learn to live with them? That was
yeah.
the first question you wanted to ask a Canadian.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you know what you say, Chad? Printed book effect.
Yeah. Well, that was that Russian group contact. Heard it?
They didn't have the same printed book effect in Russia.
Right. But there was a Russian group that contacted me over the internet in 2003, and they wanted to get a hold of Marshall McLuhan books. I don't know if you remember that, Bob, because I forwarded the request to you.
No, I know that he censored. Gorbachev had to hide his.
Yeah.
And that woman I knew who was the daughter of the aide to the Kosygin, the most famous Russian, you know, 50
right.
fucking years, Secretary of State and all that, she had to hide her McLuhan books.
Hmm.
Anyway, Chad, just... I know you probably didn't have the advantage of having this Native St. Petersburg guy who's an artist and who knows all the ins and outs taking around, but you know I'm not exaggerating about St. Petersburg, right?
Oh, absolutely not. Did you go to, it sounds like you went to Ekaterinburg, Ekaterina
yeah.
Castle.
Yeah.
Pretty nice. Did you go to Pushkin? It's near there. Town named after the.
No, we had to. We no, I don't think so. But that might be where the. I don't know where this castle was. I don't know. I mean this. We just kind of cut it short. We walked through the gardens and we didn't get into the building there. We didn't go in for the tour of the actual building there because. Mm. You know, he kind of goes, look, you got a feeling for it, right? And he's taking around and telling you about Tartania. So So it's...
Well, I didn't have that. I didn't have the Tartaria tour guide.
Tartaria, yeah.
Hey, great. We got to end. We got to do Flynn's paper.
Yeah, we can continue
Orbo Belgrade next week. And, well, and your dates for London were the 12th to the 19th, right?
That's right. Yeah, we come in the evening of the 12th, and we leave the morning of the 19th.
So 13 to 18.
Yeah.
18.
Yeah.
Okay, well, it was tremendous stuff. Glad we got us on tape, and you should take this part about, well, the whole thing, but you should send it to your, when you're back, give it to some of your friends to hear what you went through, even though you said you didn't want to talk about it, but they can hear this part.
Yeah, I mean, I can talk about it with, I mean, Chad's been, and Chad knows, and so, I mean, but...
No, I mean people in Toronto, you know.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know that many people in Toronto. It's mainly Catherine's relatives and other people that, you know...
Well, this, you got a good record of what, you don't even have to say anything to them. Yeah, just let them listen to this.
Yeah,
it's a very good story.
Yeah, you wouldn't, you just, nobody could believe what's going on here. It's just startling.
So, Greg, the final point is that everything's fucked up in America, in North America. Everything's backwards, except for the services. But the whole thing about the book is a supreme medium, and we're a book culture. The book is a fucking asshole. look what it did for imperialism and all that. So it's amazing Americans. Zappa used to complain. He said, look, you're only 200 fucking years old, and you're criticizing cultures for over 1,000 years. You're a fucking bunch of dummies, he would say to his fellow Americans.
Bob, speaking of books, Belgrade is filled with books. It's nonstop books. There are bookstores, and there are people on the street with books out every day, and it's just, there are books everywhere.
Yeah, but they got cell phones too, right?
Yeah, but they're bookstores everywhere. You just want,
right.
How can they...
Right, you can't get books here, and that's a McLuhan pattern. They're just discovering books in some way that they didn't have before.
Are we talking about the Indigo Chapter style new shiny airport books that are on the top seller list, or are we talking about like old bookstores with like stuff that's long out of print and used and stuff?
Everything. Everywhere.
Yeah, somebody, I remember,
well, Chad,
somebody
would
told
you say they were book reading people, Chad?
Well, they're definitely a book selling people. Greg's right. Somebody told Kate a statistic about Belgrade, I think. Wasn't it that has more bookstores per capita than any city in Europe or something?
Yeah, it's got to be. And next week I'll tell you just an amazing story that involves books. And actually, I knew the author, a Serbian author, and I'll tell you that story next time I'm available here. And, I mean, you won't believe it. It's,
okay, great.
It's an incredible story.
Thank Catherine for helping you tell the story.
Yeah, I will.
That was very good.
Okay
that's a very interesting situation going on in the world.
Yeah.
We're bombing Russia because they're the smartest kid in the class, and everybody's jealous.
Oh, that is absolutely the conclusion we're coming to here. You know, and I mean, the whole idea that there's no food here, and that they have to pull microchips out of refrigerators to put in their weapons. I mean, it's just complete lunacy.
Yeah, I really think it confirms what's happened to America the last 30 years. That's Peter's scenario. The Bolsheviks, the fucking assholes of Asia, came over and did this to North America.
I mean, what was interesting about this, you know, this tragic event that happened in Moscow? The Americans don't go, let's do an investigation of what happened there. It's terrible. They just go, Ukraine didn't do it. I mean, it's crazy. I mean,
what was the effect of that thing? Massacre? Were you there? Were you Yeah, he'd be in St. Petersburg when that happened.
Oh, yeah. Well, we were out with Dimitri and his girlfriend, and we were at this, like, insane, this insane ice cream place. And we were eating stuff that we didn't even want to eat. We didn't even know what was going to come. It's the most insane thing arrived. That basically, you know, I'll explain that next week. Anyway, his girlfriend arrives and tells us, oh, there was a terrorist attack in Moscow. And I'm going, oh, okay. And it had just happened, and she knew about it. And then we started learning about what was happening, and it was, like, way beyond what I thought might have happened. I mean, it was just absolutely appalling. And what was the effect? You know, for us, nothing much. But when we were going on Sunday, on Catherine's birthday, out to that place that Chad said, Katharina's area, and the parks and all of that, all of the billboards had a candle, like electronic billboards had a candle, and, you know, like they're paying, it was an official day of mourning in all over Russia because of that. So,
and that was a couple of days after it.
Yeah, it happened on the 22nd, Bob.
Yeah. Yeah, I apologize for that. I didn't want to give that away, but.
And I did see some at the at the subway station. I saw a bunch of flowers and things like that today. I'm sure, you know, I think it's obviously a big effect here. And
okay, so you said Americans, if it happened in America, they'd say it wasn't Ukraine. That'd be the first thing they'd say.
No, but that's what they did do. I mean, they didn't say yes, there should be an investigation of how this happened and so on and so on and so forth. They just went, oh, it wasn't Ukraine. Ukraine's all behind it.
Biden said that.
Yeah, these spokespeople for the White House and all that, all they're saying is, oh, you know, that's not Ukraine.
Well, they're Bolsheviks, man. They fucking lie, Greg. Look, they ruined this country. The only good place is my home in Hawaii, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, but that place is goddamn expensive. I mean, I called off a visit there because I went, holy shit, this is costing a goddamn fortune.
It's the most expensive place in the world, apparently.
Yeah, I mean, I can't pay those prices. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, no, the world's elite. Only the 1%ers live here, Greg.
I mean, really. I mean,
and I'm the elite of the elite. Let's get back to talking about me, Greg.
This isn't disrespect to anybody in any other country or any other place or any other tourist destination or whatever it is. But, I mean, you just can't beat this place. I mean, There's no way.
We should, everybody goes over there, it's got to meet Dimitri.
Well, it would be helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be really helpful, but, I mean.
See if you get his last name, we'll look him up in the art world.
Okay, well, I don't, I'm not mentioning it now because, you know, for certain reasons, but, you know, yeah, I'll give you some information.
Yeah. Probably. Okay, well, very good. Thank you very much, Greg.
Okay.
Glad you got in.
Yeah. Talk to you later.
Sure. Okay.
Bye, everybody. Bye.
Right, yeah. Great. Good. Thanks for the testimony.
Okay.
Hi, Greg.
Speak louder, Brian. What? What are you saying, Brian?
Thanks for the testimony.
Yeah. This is awesome.
Yeah. When I get back, I'll share you pictures of this place. But, you know, photographs just don't do it justice. You got to see it.
No doubt.
Yeah. Okay, I'll talk to you later.